Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Darling, have no place to go. 6:13. I don't know, is it a manners question, I suppose? When you walk into the station, there's a two-door situation. When you walk out, there's a two-door situation. I'm talking about to the parking lot downstairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you hold the door for somebody, or if somebody holds the door for you, I'm talking about the first door, and they're leading you out, or if I'm leading you out, do you say thanks for the first door or for both doors? I say thanks for both doors. I'm a both-door thank you guy.
I do it every day. I say thanks for both doors.
And if I hold both doors and you hear thanks for both, it's great. But there's that moment of awkwardness where people don't know. People don't know. Do I say thanks for the second door or do I not say thanks for the second
door? It's kind of like when you sneeze. Do you say God bless you for both sneezes?
These are the things that trouble me.
Mm-hmm. A lot of pressure early in the morning, too.
Yeah,
I say thanks, and then I say thanks times two.
I say thanks again.
Do you really?
Thanks Infinity. Time for the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, as you brought up yesterday, Andre Darlis, retailers are appealing the ruling on the Cook County soda pop tax, so we'll see what the judges do or don't do with that. But right now, they're going to stop for a cool, ice-cold Coca-Cola.
In Will County.
Yes. So we'll keep an eye on it. Now, how many of you remember Representative Aaron Schock, the congressman? Handsome devil. Decided to redo his office like, what was the name of that
show? Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. You read it as, who amongst us hasn't redecorated in the Downton Abbey style?
I'm doing it right now to my home.
I'll
remember
bet
he
you
was
are.
With us in Washington when we did the
he
show?
He did, yeah. And he was a very popular congressman.
Nice abs. Yeah. Nice abs.
Easy. Asked a judge Tuesday to throw, Schock's attorneys did, asked a judge Tuesday to throw out the felony indictment against him, contending federal prosecutors and agents asked witnesses what they called irrelevant, offensive, and prejudicial questions, including whether he is gay and whom he slept with. I don't know what that has to do with whether or not he was misusing funds unless it costs money to be gay. Is there some gay licensing fee he would have had to pay?
No, that's completely inappropriate.
It is irrelevant. It's irrelevant, it's ridiculous, and his attorney should pursue that line.
They asked
now, that doesn't mean he's not a crook, but it does mean it's none of their business if he's gay or not. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, there's one part of this that I saw this yesterday when I thought, okay, because they alleged that his... significant other, whatever you want to call it, was actually working on his payroll.
Okay, now that's
and they wanted
relevant.
To try to nail that down, I think.
That's relevant. But that's in the same inquiry, they said, did you sleep in the same room? And then did you sleep in the same bed, according to the documents?
Yeah, I don't know what that
is. No.
Well, but that, it could be his brother. It could be his friend.
Sure.
If he is using funds to his personal benefit in some way, it doesn't have to be about whether or not he's gay. Come on. What? Next. Congressional Republicans moved to defuse President Trump's threat to cut off critical payments to health insurance companies, what he refers to as bailouts, and are working towards bipartisan legislation to shore up insurance markets under the Affordable Care Act. It's when two sides are being forced to do the right thing and be bipartisan, I guess we ought to be pleased by that. But the fact that they're being forced to be bipartisan is the absolute part and part. It's the problem. That's the summation of the problem. Mitch McConnell now has no problem saying out loud, well, I guess we're going to have to work with the Democrats. Right. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Here's what he's forgetting, too. Trump is calling this a bailout. Technically, it is not, because Obamacare, whether you like it or not, is the law of the land right now.
It's the law.
So you're not bailing people out who are already following the law and perhaps can't afford health insurance at this point.
And the insurance companies get subsidies to make up for the discounts that they're giving to people under the law.
Correct. Wrong use of the word bailout.
Next! The Justice Department's looking into another story here. The Trump administration is preparing to investigate and sue universities over admissions policies deemed to discriminate against white people. The white applicants, according to a document obtained by the New York Times, is all about affirmative action. And you can imagine that there are others who are saying that the core premise of affirmative action is to level the playing field. So the playing field, if you go with the basic premise, the playing field is already tilted towards white folks, then I don't believe we've gotten to a point where it's tilted against white folks. Now, on an individual case-by-case basis, you could probably make that argument. I'm sure you could. Mm-hmm. But in the big picture, you can't say, the blacks and the Hispanics are getting everything. The minorities are getting all the cool white stuff. It's just the dumbest argument. The White House is preparing to investigate China's trade practice and suspected violations of American intellectual property, according to people with knowledge of the plan. Trump's also surprised that some Asian countries are so large. Do we have audio on that? I don't think it exists, right? It's a Wall Street Journal story. Okay. If that audio exists anywhere, I'd love to have it.
I was going to say what's with him in size, but...
China's really big. We never knew how difficult healthcare was and how big China was.
What's the deal with the Wall Street Journal trying to hide this story, too, by the way? I mean, they weren't originally going to release any of these transcripts of this interview that just...
Under what excuse do we know?
I was reading part of the story this morning, but it really wasn't clear why they were trying to not release some of these, because it was also the interview where he said that the Boy Scouts leader called him and said that great job at that speech, which is something that came out of that Wall Street Journal interview that apparently never happened.
The Boy Scout leadership said there's no one in Boy Scout leadership that took a phone call from the president and had any conversation referencing anything he's referring to. So I want people to be clear on this. The president of the United States is lying about the Boy Scouts. Hold on. Allow me to repeat. The president of the United States is lying about the Boy Scouts and the speech he made at the Boy Scouts because he is so insecure that he felt like he had to say that someone from the Boy Scouts called, and the quote was like a 12-year-old quote, too. It was like, I mean, a quote of a 12-year-old. He said something like, yeah, Boy Scout leader called, said it's the best speech ever.
Yeah.
It sounds like something you tell your mom. Hey, Mom, guess what? They said it was the best speech ever.
So he gave him his cell phone number, too, then.
Yeah, he's just handing that out left and right. And the Boy Scouts, you know, if you said, based on what we know, Is Donald Trump lying, or are the Boy Scouts lying? I'm going with the Boy Scouts telling the truth.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think they get a bag for that.
Weed bars now open at weddings. Marijuana vendors for weddings are part of the budding recreational pot market. By the way, I don't know if that's somebody else's writing, but I just read it as it was written here in front of me. The budding international pot market. I know you enjoy that.
I did not. It's not me, but it is funny.
I just want to slap myself here because I'm better than
that. I give props to whoever wrote it.
Mike, you have been to 414 weddings this summer. Have you seen any weed bars?
There was a few of them budding in the one wedding.
That's it. Show's over. We're shutting the show down.
All right.
But no, I have not.
I think we know the road budding now, too, by the way.
All right, all three of you.
I didn't.
All three of you
don't
go stand in the street.
Well,
you have to be penalized for previous crimes.
I know.
Sounds like this segment went up in smoke, huh?
Okay,
ooh,
Mike, Steve,
I'm going
to
back
out.
Away.
You
I'm
get
gonna,
to stay.
I'm going to back away. I get to stay.
Nope, I'm stopping myself.
Thank you, Steve.
Good call by you, Dave.
Thank you.
Top 6 and 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60 Minutemen. Just terribly sad news from the golf world yesterday, and a sports name you probably know even if you're not a golf fan. Talk to Dr. Kevin Most about the repercussions of it next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
As always, Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by the fine people at Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And I know some people, as Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How about yourself?
Doing fine. I know some people are a little intolerant of our golf talk, and, you know, admittedly, you and I are golf nuts. And so is Andre, and so is Dave, and so are most people on the show, exception of Vanderbilt. But I think most people know David Faraday. David Faraday has kind of grown bigger than the sport because he's an incredibly entertaining guy with a really compelling and interesting story, and the fact that he was a Ryder Cup level golfer on the European Tour and had some success here in the States as well, but eventually had to leave the tour because of the demons of addiction. He leaves the tour, he quits playing golf, and because of his addictive personality and because of his need to excise those demons whenever he can, becomes a cyclist.
Yep.
And cycles all the time, bikes all the time. In the midst of doing that, including getting up in the middle of the night when he was struggling with the demons, if you will, he'd get up and go on midnight bike rides all over Dallas where he lives. And he was hit by cars three different times in the middle of these overnight bike rides, not because he was using again, but because he was out in the middle of the night on a bike. So in other words, he's a bit of a human train wreck, but he admits it constantly, and he admits it's a day-to-day struggle, and he gives his wife credit for saving his life, and he says all the right things, and he supports addiction causes and all of that. So it was heartbreaking, Doc, yesterday to find out that his son died from an overdose.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you hit it right on the head. He's probably one of the biggest and most open people about the addiction. And then to see it strike his family is very sad. And, you know, anybody who's met him, I know you've at least met him or spoken to him. I've met him. You know, he's a character, and he's just the guy that you just really cheer for and root for, because he's more than open to share with you what his life and what he's gone through. And for this to happen to him and his family, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family and the whole Golf Channel family, to be honest with you, because they are very tight. They travel on the road like that, and very difficult, but just highlights the problem we have in this country with drug addiction.
Do we know that it was an opioid addiction?
We don't, but I, you know, when you look at statistics, that's probably the one that you're going to go to. You know, the vast majority of overdoses are opiates right now. Some of the other drugs that we have overdoses are more suicidal. In other words, I wanted to take a drug overdose, right. but they knew he was fighting the demons as well. So you would almost assume that it was opiates.
This is why the funding to protect this country going forward for research, for development, for rehab, for anything that's federally funded and state funds as well is so vitally important. I mean, what does it mean to you guys in the medical community?
Well, you know, it's huge for us. I mean, when you look at it, and you kind of just tipped on it there, you know, this is not let's try to stop the flow of opiate drugs across the border into our country. Oh, no, it's much bigger than that. It comes down fundamentally to doctors as well, as far as let's give us better medications that can fight pain so that we don't put patients on opiate. Let's make sure we have treatment facilities that we can do this. Let's make sure we get Narcan into first responders' hands. Anything we can do to save a life, we have an opportunity to then rehab that person. If we can't save the life, then there's no rehab opportunity.
You know, this war on pot that's being bantied about quietly amongst Jeff Sessions and, frankly, some of the old white guys in Washington would divert money from the opiate crisis that we're in right now, because it's got to come from somewhere. I can't think of a bigger mistake to be made.
I totally agree with you. You know, you don't have people overdosing from marijuana. You have marijuana has definite uses that are very important in medicine for patients on chemotherapy and things like that. Let's focus where our problems are. You know, 50,000 people die from drug overdoses every year, and 35,000 of them are from opiate overdoses.
Doc, every time we do a story on this for Channel 9, I will get an email or someone will say, well, why are we wasting our money on opiates and on a choice people have and on drug addiction as opposed to, say, cancer research, heart disease? And I know the answer to this, but I want you to kind of explain that, why this is so important that we do get the funding and the research for this.
Right. So opiates are probably the most, if at least in the top couple as far as addictive drugs. People can get addicted to opiates with 1 to 2 doses of medication. You go and have surgery, whether you have knee surgery, abdominal surgery, any kind of surgery, there's a good chance you're going to be in pain. The doctor is going to want you up and moving. And how do we do that? We eliminate your pain. So we have these medications that we need to use in order to get you healthy. Well, unfortunately, those medications can have these detrimental effects. The problem is that people get addicted to them often when they've been given to them by a physician. The physician says, no, 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 you can't have this anymore. And now they go out on the street where they're starting to get it. And in the street, you can't say that a Norco, which we know exactly how much hydrocodone is in that, and now you're buying a bag of something from someone on the street.
Right.
The strength of it is different. It's laced with other things. And that's where we have our problems and cause deaths. I mean, we're talking, this is a huge demographic, Steve. This is not just gangbangers. We're talking all the way from high school kids all the way to very successful doctors, lawyers, engineers.
Right. Business titans and people who had a medical problem that turned into an addiction that's out of control. It's killed celebrities before. We know it killed Prince. We know it's killed others. And for those who are intolerant of people who have addictions, I hope you'll do two things. I hope you'll say a prayer for those who do suffer. And I hope you'll pause and learn a little bit more about what actually causes addiction. And once you are addicted, the nightmare it is to get off it. That's why this drug Narcan is so important. What is it?
So Narcan is a drug that essentially is almost like the opiates. And what it does is it attaches to the portion of the brain in it that slows down our breathing. So it attaches there so that the opiate can't. So essentially it'll take away the effect of the opiate on our respiratory system, which is how these people die. So it reverses that because it bonds more tightly in the brain than the opiate does. So it's extremely important. And we're talking Narcan should be in high schools. Narcan should be in police officers' hands. Narcan should be pretty much everywhere. It's over the counter now in 35 states. So if you have a loved one who you know who's fighting it, have some Narcan. You're like, well, why would I do that? I'm just, you know, enabling him. No, you're not. You potentially are saving his life until he can get into treatment.
Yeah, I think the only way people need to think about this is the Heimlich maneuver. This is CPR. This is specific to life saving. It has nothing to do with anything but that.
You got it.
So, well, anyway, good information as always. It just breaks your heart. I mean, listen, I'm not. It's not like I hang with David Faraday, but I know him a little bit. And as you had said, and knowing what my brother has gone through, and people in my family, including family members who I've seen overdose and die, I've had a couple of those as well. It's crushing. I can't imagine he going through what he's gone through, trying to publicly help others and to lose your son that way. It's hideous.
And there's 150 David Faradays out there every single day.
People listening right now.
Exactly. And like we've said in the past, we often use celebrities to promote something. You know, if this opens the awareness for you to look at your child, to look at your loved one, to look at anybody that you might know and make an impact to try to save their life, then we've done some good today.
And I'd also say this, and I'll just leave it at this, but people go, my kid's 22, my kid's 25, my kid's 30 or 35. I can't make them do anything now. You can't. But if there's a lucid moment where you can sit down with them and say, I can't imagine what you're going through. I wish you weren't. I'm not going to yell at you about it. I'm going to love you today. I'm going to love you tomorrow. I'm going to love you whenever. But the fact of the matter is, I want you to think about what your life could be in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years if you're not chased by this and if you're not chasing it, and give yourself the possibility to get there. Just do that. Just take today. Don't make a rash decision. I'll take you to a treatment center. I'll take you to somebody who is going through what you're going through, somebody that's walked the walk you're on. No lectures. I'll do whatever I can to help. That's what an addict needs to hear, Doc.
Well said. Well said. And in our... The government needs to hear we need more treatment centers, we need more funding for treatment, we need other opportunities for medications that are not opiates to treat pain, and we're going to need some funding for that, but we're going to save lives.
634, thank you, Dr. Kevin Most.
You got to take care.
As always, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Andre is here. We're going to talk the big story now. Is Cook County going to have a soda tax? Is it not going to have a soda tax? I'm going to go. I'm in Cook County right now at the WGN studios. Well, Andre does the big story. I'm going to have myself a $12 Diet Coke.
That's about what you're going to pay, Steve.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Elise Glink about to join us from thinklink.com. We're going to play the match game later. Famous game show host John DeCoss is here. So a chance for you to win fabulous prizes totaling tens of dollars from the Steve Cochran Show prize list coming up as well. Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
You know, it's good. It's a nice sunny day again. Mm-hmm. Everything's drying out up here in the North Shore. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Did you have any basement issues?
We did not, thankfully.
Congratulations. Yeah. All right, so let me hit you with a big picture issue first. China and trade. The president was best friends, BFFs, with the leadership of China. Now he's not, and supposedly is going to hit him with some of these trade sanctions or sanctions light that he discussed along the campaign. Concerned?
Always.
Well, that sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now we can talk about something else. No, China trade, Russia friends, you know, North Korea, it's all very terrifying. I think it's much safer to read Harry Potter tucked away in bed at night instead of watching the news. You know, these kinds of things, you've got the stock market at a record high,
yep,
which is great. You know, and yet you've got the president, the stock market, in my opinion, and I know other people feel this way too, is priced for perfect conditions. And by that, I mean Senate and House that are getting along in Washington. We don't actually run out the debt ceiling, to September 29th or whatever day that is in September. And we get the kind of freeing up of the regulatory stuff that Trump promised on the campaign. And so far, nothing is happening on that front. And so you've got a stock market that's priced super high. You've got Congress that basically isn't talking to each other. And then you've got Donald Trump, who's going after our biggest trading partners. Yeah, sure, I'm worried.
Yeah, and China owns a remarkable amount of debt in this country that they could call in it, I suppose, at any time. But they don't do that. Why?
Probably because we pay our bills and they know that it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. Although, you know, you never know if that's going to mean what it used to mean. Right now it does. I believe it's China that's backing that new building that's going up on the river, not too far away from where WGN Radio is moving to. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a lot of investments here. It used to be that China really only invested on the West Coast or New York. And then you had Latin America investing all across the southern border of the U.S. And now what's happening here in Chicago is that we're seeing, you know, it's the international melting pot of real estate investors. All of these big players are pouring money into Chicago next.
Does it still make sense, at least, to invest in the Chinese markets?
Well, tell her what you said off the air.
Well,
she wanted to know if China was too big to fail.
Steve, that was just for you.
It's not that it's too big to fail. It's just that it's been around for 6,000 years or plus, right? So
yeah.
They actually have the longevity that we, 200 and whatever it is, 78 years old or something, we just don't have, at least not yet. And so I think they look at us and say, look at those young whippersnappers over there. What are they doing? I think China, it's not that it's too big to fail. I think it's too old. I also think that they're pouring money in the places where they are failing, right? So there are a lot of stories about China and its air quality and what they're doing and the push now to get away from coal-fired plants and to clean up the smoggy air and the rest. And, you know, if they get that done, they're just a huge powerhouse. I'm sure they will.
What is a MyRA?
So this is a program that the Obama administration started to help people who had no way of putting money into investments, other than maybe bank accounts, create savings accounts that could be used for retirement. So if you're in there are a lot of jobs that offer 401ks, right, which is great. And if you work for yourself, you can open up a self-employed 401k, and there are a number of names for that, like a KEO and, you know, some other ones. But a lot of people in this country work for people who don't offer a 401k. And why don't they? Because 401ks are expensive. There's a lot of record keeping involved with them, and it's a big pain in the neck. And so those people typically can open up a Roth IRA. Or sometimes they can't even do that because they don't have enough money to start it up. A lot of times, you know, companies like Fidelity or Vanguard will let you open up a Roth IRA if you have the right kind of earnings and if you commit to putting a certain amount away each month. Well, a lot of people just don't meet any of those standards. And so the Obama administration started something called MyRA, RA meaning retirement account. And they opened it up for people who didn't have access to workplace savings accounts, and they were allowed to invest mostly in treasuries. Now, you can argue that treasuries were not maybe the best investment to put it in, but for a lot of these people, just actually getting them to put anything away on a regular basis was good, and about 30,000 people did it. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday or maybe last Friday, they were all sent emails saying, we're shutting you down, and this is an expensive program, and we're not going to keep running it. And so they are going to be able to roll those into a Roth IRA, probably run by, you know, one of the big companies, and it's being shut down. And you have to wonder if this is being shut down because of the cost, like they're claiming, you know, Trump always trying to save the country money, or it's just another Obama-era thing, and he just doesn't want Obama's name on anything.
What do you think the answer is?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, right? The treasurer, the U.S. treasurer, said that the program cost $70 million since 2014. So if that's really true, and I don't know if it is because I haven't looked, if that's true, that's pretty expensive for people who are putting away, you know, not that much money. It would cost $10 million a year, supposedly, in the future. Since they're buying treasuries and it's automated, it's hard to understand why it costs so much. But anyway,
it's a government program, so of course they overspend.
I know. And the toilets, they're gold-plated, and they cost like $900 a piece or
right,
something.
Right, but, right, right.
So anyway, it's hard to know.
And if they're J.B. Pritzker's, they don't work. Wait, I'm getting a far afield here. Sorry.
Exactly.
So, all right, take me through a little bit of real estate here quickly, because it seems like every time we talk, I want to get one day closer to the possibility of real estate transactions here, but this is still very much a seller's market versus a buyer's market, right?
It is, and surprisingly, I think the realtors have been a little bit surprised that the numbers of sales continue to rise, even as the prices of homes continue to rise. But what I think is happening here are two things. So, number one, interest rates are ridiculously low still. So, by this point in time, we were supposed to be well into the 4% range for a 30-year fixed. But it's looking like 3.75%. It is the bond market is now moving. It's really interesting. So, when interest rates are cheaper, you can afford to buy a bigger house. So, I think part of that's going on. I think the other part that's going on is that we're actually seeing the price of homes rise, and so the median price is going up, right? The amount of money that people are paying above that point or below that point for homes, this is the middle point. That point, that is going up, and I think it's because we're seeing more higher-end homes sell versus just sort of more homes overall. I mean, they say pending home sales are holding up. It's hard to imagine how the number of homes in the market is shrinking. One thing on the North Shore, though, is I am seeing lots of for sale signs and homes that are just not moving. I haven't been to a lot of other parts of the city lately, but I have been biking around the North Shore, and I'm seeing lots of for sale signs. So that's interesting as well.
Which one of your books would apply to this scenario?
Well, if you're a first-time home buyer, hold out for the fourth edition of 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, but it won't be out for a while.
That's
the best book
Bible.
I've ever read.
That's the Bible
it
for
is.
Andrea. There's no book for sellers because you don't need one. All the homes are selling except these expensive ones. So,
have you written a book about buying a second home or buying an investment property?
I have. It's called The Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. And it's actually, it's 9 ebooks and 9 videos all rolled into one package, and you can get that at thinklink.com.
See, I worked the plug in there. You didn't even
that
ask for
good.
It.
Thank you.
Didn't even ask for it.
I never think about it.
All right, so it's Elise Glink, thinklink.com. Unless you have her cell phone or are her best friend, you need to listen to this segment every week. And a lot of times she's on in the 9 o'clock hour, so don't miss any of the show. We thank you for the expertise as always. Will you be on the noon business hour anytime soon? The Mooch, by the way, Anthony Scaramucci, I wasn't kidding when I said that. If you hear Abigail Grace, my one and only grandchild, world's perfect granddaughter, all 19 months of her, she's not even 19 months yet. She's 18 and a half months.
At what age do you stop saying the months? Like at two, do you say two, or do you go into like 26 months, 27 months? What's the protocol?
Well, I don't know, because I still do it.
Well, because we refer to you as you're, what, 600 months old?
676 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 676. Actually, am I 677? Yeah, I guess I'm 677 months now in a couple of weeks.
And a half, yeah.
Actually, I'm 676 and a half months old.
Oh.
Yeah. I just looked it up. It said after 1 month.
For men?
Yeah.
So whenever you hear Abigail Grace say, bye, Mooch, be the seventh call. We're going to do that instead of the Madigan game today. Usually with Madigan, you hear crickets because he doesn't call us back, and he never does the show because he's afraid of me. But in Abigail Grace's case, when she says, bye, Mooch, be the seventh caller and win in the bye, Mooch game, it's a big, big game. It's catching on all over. Now, before we go any further, TMZ caught up with Anthony Scaramucci. Scaramucci, will you do the Fandango? Last night, was this outside a restaurant? Was he leaving a restaurant?
He was leaving the Trump Hotel.
Did he get a good rate on
room? I've got to get rid of you, but I'll give you a room for two nights. We'll leave the light on for you.
Do you think they sent over an appetizer?
No amenities. No amenities for the Mooch. As he's leaving the hotel, TMZ had the place staked out. Of course they did. And this is an actual confrontation, not confrontation, an actual interaction with the Mooch leaving the Trump Hotel. Listen.
What's your best advice for the next communications director coming in?
It's not appropriate for me to comment right now, but I appreciate you being here because I know you have a job to do.
Got it. So what are you going to do next, man? You have a lot of money on the line. You have a big business. You have a new family. What are you going to work on next?
You know what I'm going to do next? I'm working on being the best person I can be.
Come on, Vic.
And I want... Chief of Staff Kelly to have an unbelievable opportunity inside the White House.
Did you have a chance to say goodbye to the president before you left?
That's it for right now.
Fair. Let me ask you this. On a serious,
entertainment.
Before you go on, entertainment. People were talking about Dancing with the Stars. You, Spicer, others. Are you? Would that something you consider?
I don't know how to dance.
Take care.
That's probably. Now I could be wrong. That's probably the most likable he's ever been in his life. He's a grown-up. He answered the questions. It was almost a clinic on how to handle TMZ.
Mm-hmm. I like the answer of when he was asked, did you say goodbye to the president?
Yeah, there was no answer.
Long pause.
I think security walked him out of the property.
Well, they walked him out of the hotel as well?
No, they walked him out of the White House.
No, I heard that part. Yeah. It'd be interesting if everywhere he went now, security walked him out.
They're just waiting for him.
He's in an IKEA trying to fill his new apartment, and security walks him out. 6:59, the Mooch. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN. Next hour, Rahm Emanuel in studio.
Bye, Mooch.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Real change begins immediately with the repealing and replacing of the disaster known as Obamacare.
Repeal it and replace it.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace
Obamacare. We're going to repeal it. We're going to replace it. We're going to get something good. Repeal it, replace it, get something great. We're going to kill it. Let it die. Let it die. And we're going to come up with something much, much better.
You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost. And it's going to be so easy.
How'd that work out? I mean, I was out of town for a couple of days. How'd that work out? Actually, I shouldn't give Trump or the Republicans a hard time because my effort to repeal and replace Trump is not complete. So,
long process.
Until I can get mine done, I can't complain about them. In our continuing effort to try to get to the bottom of what Congress does for a living and whether or not they're going to be able to accomplish this, let's bring in Congressman Dan Lipinski. And good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
Nice to be on with you. And this bipartisan effort that you are a part of, you hope to be problem solvers at least, right?
Well, we put together this problem solver caucus at the beginning of this Congress because we know the American people are sick and tired of the status quo, sick and tired of all the partisan bickering and nothing getting done. And we decided a couple weeks ago to sit down and say, hey, can we, this bipartisan group of 43 House members, come up with a plan that we can agree on that will at least stabilize the Affordable Care Act, and as we see with the announcement of the 43% increases in some of the premiums in Illinois for next year, what we have proposed will help to alleviate a lot of that price spike if we can get this done.
All right, so here's what we know. Math doesn't lie. For thousands and thousands of years, math doesn't lie. So they know that the same way car insurance works is the way health insurance has to work, and that is you have to have everybody contributing. And that covers those that have accidents versus those that don't. The pool has to be fairly balanced. So all the attempts to reinvent the wheel, first with President Obama and now with the Republicans, math doesn't lie. So if you go with that premise, you have to fix the exchanges. You have to do what the problem solvers are trying to do. So are there specifics you're aware of yet, Congressman Lipinski, or are you still hammering that out?
We have a specific plan that has five parts to it, but the two keys are, first of all, what is really driving the price spike for 2018 is the Trump administration has said that these cost-sharing reductions, which are payments that are made to the insurance companies to...
This is what he refers to as bailouts.
Lower payments for lower-income people in the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, no, I want to make sure people understand this, though, because Andrea talked about this last hour. The president is calling these bailouts. Yes. They're not bailouts because they're mandated by the law.
They are mandated by the law, but the law was not written well and did not... I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for the ACA because I saw a lot of problems with it, although I supported what it was trying to do. And right. So that's why I want to fix it. I don't want to repeal it. I want to fix it. But it's in the law to make these payments. The law was written poorly so that it didn't say where the money was going to come from. The Obama administration took the money that was coming in from taxes that were put in through the law to pay for it. The House Republicans went to court and said, no, that's wrong. You can't do that. There's been one court decision. It has gone. The House Republicans won that. And now Trump is saying, I'm not going to continue to pay those maybe. And if he doesn't do that, that in and of itself drives up the, spikes the prices at least 20%, as we saw. Some are going up 43% next year.
All right, so let me ask you this, because if we stick with the original premise that the math doesn't lie, I think one of the things that I get stuck on and people get stuck on, and I don't begin to understand the business model of insurance in the big picture, but I understand that the insurance companies have to make a certain amount of money in premium costs. But the deductible costs are insane, and the deductible costs would seem to be where the insurance companies have the most room to move, or is it exactly the opposite? And I know I ought to be asking insurance scientists about this, but where do the insurance companies have the ability to have some flexibility? Are you aware?
Well, in the last 8 years, since we started the whole Affordable Care Act debate, I've become much more expert in health insurance than I ever expected
right.
to. But the issue is you either have if you have a lower deductible, you're going to have a higher premium.
Right.
So in order to try to keep the premiums down a little bit and have the lower that immediate sticker shock in bring more people in the market, I think the insurance companies have raised up, they raised the deductible so they can keep the premiums lower. You have to remember, the Affordable Care Act did set a limit on the profit that insurance companies can make. So it didn't, and this is a whole other subject, and it's not touched on by the problem solvers plan. The cost part of insurance, the providers, that was not touched at all in the Affordable Care Act. And I think that's something that we may need to do. But right now the focus of this plan from these 43 House members, bipartisan group, is to just try to eliminate the price spike, and with reinsurance, another piece of our agreement, the reinsurance plan would help to lower, everyone says 5 to 10% lower premiums if we put that in.
All right, so if we believe the insurance companies, without opening their books, that they aren't making any profit beyond the maximum number mandated by the law, then the crazy high deductibles are their math adjustment to cover the increased cost that they have because of the ACA. Is that accurate?
Well, to cover the cost of, if you want to blame the ACA, some.
Well, I'm not blaming the ACA. I'm trying to answer the question. The question being, the deductibles are out of control. There's a maximum profit that can be made, so the increase in deductibles must be because the insurance companies have greater cost related to the ACA. That's the only answer I can come up with.
Well, they have greater cost because the cost of health care is just continued, as we've seen the last couple decades, has just continued.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the deductibles jump. The deductibles jump, Congressman, can only come from one thing, and that's the cost of the plan from the ACA or the cost of the plan from Trump Care going forward. And see, this is where I hope you guys can get something done, because Congress is notorious for making things 10 times harder than they need to be. So if we get back to the basics, how much does it cost the insurance companies to provide the insurance, and therefore what's a fair amount of profit for them to make and what's a fair amount for us to be charged? That seems to be the way to make the clouds go away. I don't know why that's wrong.
Well, the insurance companies have been limited in how much profit that they can make.
I know. I just said that. I'm just saying, why is my premise wrong?
Your premise is not wrong, except the question is, are you saying that the Affordable Care Act means that the insurance coverage has to be too much? There's a lot of talk. Republicans want to limit what they call the essential health benefits in the Affordable Care Act, saying all these things have to be covered, like mental health, maternity care for women, other requirements in the essential health benefits. And that's one thing Republicans were talking about getting rid of with their repeal and replace. And that's a debate that we can have. I think that many of these things that we should cover, I think, again, to spread the risk, I don't think we should be saying, no, insurance companies don't have to cover maternity care.
Right, but here's what we know. Here's what we know, because, again, this gets too far afield. What we know is we're going to have Obamacare for the immediate, indefinite future. So the Problem Solvers Caucus that we're talking about with you, you have to come up with a way, or your goal is to come up with a way, and to get Congress to get on board with this, to make it the most affordable and the most sustainable for Illinois and everybody else going forward, specific to Illinois, not to have a 20 or 30% price hike next year. So what's the next milepost for you? When will you have some information that you're breaking through on that?
Well, we are speaking with a group of senators today. The Senate is in session for another week after this week. Senator Lamar Alexander, who is chairman of the Health Committee over in the Senate, has said he wants a bipartisan solution.
Good, then do it, Senator.
We're working. So the House members are going to talk to the senators today, hopefully convince them that this is the plan to move forward.
All right, and if you get pushback from Senator Alexander or anybody else that says we're not going to meet, or we're not going to meet until November or December or whatever, tell us, because I want to out all of these people. Anybody that's being non-cooperative and causing more problems for not just the citizens of Illinois, but everybody, let's name them.
I completely agree. This has been too much of a political football, and I think there's some Republicans who think they're better off letting the Affordable Care Act fail because Democrats will get blamed, and think there are Democrats who feel the same way, that, well, let it fail because Republicans will get blamed and we'll win the next election. And
it's really easy for anybody in Congress to say that with a health care plan you guys all enjoy. I'm not even saying take that plan away from you, but you can't have others in Congress, and it's not you, but others in Congress saying let it fail when you don't understand the pain that's already causing and will cause to people that don't have health insurance. I mean, how dare they? I want a list of every one of those creeps that says let it fail. We know the president says it, but we want to know the cowards in Congress that are saying it off the record and behind closed doors.
Well, that's why I've been saying we've got to fix this thing for the good of the people. It's not about politics. It's not about Democrats, Republicans. We should not be making people suffer like this. And by the way, though,
outrageous.
We are on members of Congress who do buy their insurance through health insurance exchanges. So I'm waiting to see what the premiums go up for me this year, for next year also.
Man, well, I hope they're affordable. Thank you, Congressman. And if people want to follow the Problem Solvers Caucus, just link it through your website.
Yes, lipinski.house.gov.
All right, thanks. Dave Ennett, who has passed away?
One of the great names in college football, Ara Parseghian, has died. The announcement this morning made by the University of Notre Dame, where, of course, he coached for 11 seasons, leading the Fighting Irish to a pair of national championships. He had been in failing health, 94 years old. Of course, Ara Parseghian went to Notre Dame from Northwestern, where he led the Wildcats to a number one ranking in college football and then moved to Notre Dame in 1964. Ara Parseghian, 94 years old.
Interesting tie here. John DeCoss's father worked at Wilson Sports forever, and wasn't he a college roommate of Ara Parseghian?
No, he was a college roommate of Frank Cush.
Frank Cush, that's right, but he knew Parseghian forever,
one
right?
of his best friends, and yeah, he'll be sadly, that news is going to be tough today. So, yeah, they were good friends for a long time.
It's interesting when you think about it from a perspective standpoint. Your dad's 92?
92.
And at 92, you're certainly not surprised when your friends go, but it doesn't make it less sad, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because they don't think, I know he's not thinking, I'm 92, like your dad, Dave. It's like, and it's going to be over in a, they're just like, it's another day.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. So, sad story, but condolences to your dad, because I know they were close.
Good.
7:30, we'll come back with the big story. The big story will be what? Oh, we're going to do this right now. What's it about?
We're going to do Amazon. Big, big day for Amazon right. and for those applying to possibly work for Amazon.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
That was Alderman Ed Burke doing the goal call. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it was good.
Chicago, yeah. I will show
Mayor Rahm Emanuel in studio. Congratulations in a continuing, not just effort, I mean, a successful endeavor to make Chicago the event city that it deserves to be, the MLS All-Star Game tonight. Are you throwing out the first pitch?
Yeah, you know what? There's hope for you, Steve. There's a 12-step program. You're starting at half step. I'm really impressed.
What do you do to start a soccer game ceremony? Do you kick out the first?
You look at the shin of the opponent, take your target, and hit it.
No, not city council.
You know what? What's that?
Not city council. So.
That'd be a good way to end a meeting with city council. It actually would. Yeah,
you know, I said that yesterday. You know, all these kids, I was down on the fourth floor. It was night out, building relationship between community and residents, and there were kids doing the kung fu exercises, and then they bowed, and the head of the class made them bow at the direction. I was there with two aldermen. I said, I'm going to start having city council do this.
Bow you?
Yeah. At the end of city council, after we've knocked some wood out, yeah. I would like to.
Namaste.
You know what, though? This is, it's sold out. This is a Major League All-Star Soccer. You know, Chicago Fire is doing quite well here
in the
city. But we have Real Madrid playing here. It's a great event for the city. Also have now the conference for the soccer coaches coming for the next three times, but over the next 5-6 years.
Now, when you and I were growing up, soccer was always going to be the next big thing. It's going to be the next big thing. It finally feels like it's the thing.
Well, I played soccer.
I bet you did.
And that's the reason I started ballet, because in the off season I wanted to improve my soccer game, and I took up ballet, and then I realized 30 guys, 20 women. I went to the 20 women.
It was the right call.
Right, yeah, you think it was good?
It was the right call.
One guy, 20 women. I can get these odds. That was good for me.
You know what? That's how I got into politics. Problem solving.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Problem solving. Look at this, and I didn't need a big data computer. I could figure that out.
Sit down on
the bench. Or go to the bar.
Right. Perfect.
Now I have some swag for you guys.
Oh, hold on now. Yeah. Hold on.
2017 All-Star Baseball hat right here.
Bring it up.
Look at that.
There you go. What are we doing here?
You got a cup there. Now we have enough for everybody. So don't start crying. Look at those eyes.
I know.
Oh my God.
No.
He's pointing at Dave Bennett and saying, Dave, where's mine?
He knows.
Now, Steve. Let's just say this is not the same size as the one I got. Okay,
no,
mine also came with a name and the number 17.
Uh huh. Oh, so that's the Target MLS All Star Game swag.
We got a Sharpie. We can write.
And this is the petite I ordered.
Yeah, this is the petite. This is the extra small.
Yes.
We have one for every. We have actually extras. Okay, for the sound man, because you don't ever get any recognition, brother, back there.
So
we have Dave.
Here you go, buddy.
Can I say this?
Thank you, Mayor.
Dave's puppy eyes, as if
you
got caught with puppy eyes. Like that is, I never get my fair share, and I do the sports.
See,
here it is, brother.
Mayor Red Dave Bennett, like a book.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Taking care, Dave. Dave, once you get the shirt, you
don't ever
bow.
Say Hanukkah Harry did not bring something. Okay?
You have to bow. Once you get the shirt, you have to bow.
When I leave, I would like the take on the bow. Okay, I would like the photo of my bow. when that happens. And then also,
all right, here you go. Now,
here. The bat, okay?
Working the lid.
All right. Okay. You guys get it. All right. Don't you ever should... say Uncle Rami didn't bring you something.
Sign the banner.
We'll sign the banner.
This is the first time you've come in and the gifts weren't provided by your wife, Amy.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, but she, let me say this. She went through the bag first and decided what she wanted versus you guys got the hand-me-downs.
That's okay. Well, thanks, Amy.
Actually, I will say this. The gray T-shirt. I know you guys got the soccer. It's one of. I'm not joking. I actually like this.
That's cool.
Oh, that's nice.
That's
cool.
For the backyard and the barbecue. Yeah. Cut the sleeves.
Right.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah.
Cut the sleeves.
Cut the sleeves. Okay. Listen, your biceps and mine.
Yeah,
come on, let's go.
It's the same thing, brother.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Target had a...
you can put that down now, Steve. Target. You're holding that up a little long there.
It's a photo op. You know photo ops. You experienced one or two.
Are you kidding? ROM photo op Emmanuel.
Target had the deal set up yesterday behind us here at Pioneer Court. Got tons of stops.
No, but to the core, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to Andrew from Chicago Fire, the owners. They actually do a lot of investment in kids' activities through the Park District throughout the city of Chicago.
Sure.
We've built 50 fields in the city in the last 6 years.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
Kids got to have a place to play.
And it's great for the city to have this soccer game here. It's really wonderful.
Congratulations on that. Now, I got a couple other things I want to ask you about, as you would well guess. Yeah.
Now, enough with the kids and helping them develop.
Right.
Let's get to something else.
Let's get to Scaramucci.
You didn't even take a breath. But go ahead. Let's get to the mooch, the other person you would not let near kids.
I am fascinated by the mooch. I asked, I talked to Senator Durbin yesterday about this. In all your years in politics.
No.
You've never met anybody like this guy?
That's not true.
Not Matt. Matt's not right. You've never seen anyone in an official position like this guy. Not even a White House. Maybe a congressional aide, somebody.
This is going to get me in trouble, and he'll hear about it, and then we'll go crazy. Dick Morris. Dick Morris would be the closest, I would say. But, you know, the mooch, still about 20 feet distance.
A communications director that F-bombs his way through an on-the-record interview. You can't make that up.
No, this is he has, there's no guardrails for him, and he needs some guardrails.
Well, it's not even an F-bomb. We use that word off the air quite often, but the vulgar
I would like the record to say, I do not use it.
I know, okay. Yeah, me neither.
Well, not on air.
No, but the vulgar terms, you know, the X.
Yeah, he suggested a position that Steve Bannon can't get in, not even with help.
It would be on, you know, National Geographic.
You know what? You're not lying. But from the chief of staff position, this is a position you held. Just in regards to the gatekeeping portion of this,
yeah.
What's more important in regards to Kelly now, the people you say no to or the people you say yes to? The people you give access to or the people you make sure don't get
it? Everybody's about access. Let me try to break this down. First of all, there's two titles, chief and staff, and you're both. And you gotta remember, and sometimes in the same moment, you're both.
Okay.
You're running the staff for the president, but you are the chief of it. So you're the first among all equals from a staff position. Second is, look, he has, I would say, right now you could say, the trust of the president. So good. Check. Clearly, having worked with him, he has a sense of order and discipline. Check. What's not known yet is his grasp of politics, and don't tell me the chief of staff is just about management, because in a business about politics, you got to know something about politics.
Sure.
So unknown, okay? Periphery vision, sometimes you got to be able to see things that are on the side that will become front and center and cost you weeks, if not months, of time that you can't afford. So we don't know that. So the unknown of his capacity, and I do think the general, I'd rather, now Chief of Staff Kelly, has the capacity of all these things, because he's been around at high levels of government, so he's not ignorant or tone deaf to politics, but it's not in his core. You've got to be able to advise a president on both politics, policy, and press, the three P's. And if you can't do that, you're not going to be a capable Chief of Staff. When you look at whether it's in this new book, Gatekeeper, you look at a Leon Panetta, you look at a Baker, you look at a Podesta, just go the list of the successful versus not. Those are the ones that actually not just are orderly, but also grasp the politics of the moment and help steer the White House and the president for that.
How much
now, a question that hasn't been asked, but I know you're going to, Steve. Will the president have a chief of staff?
Yeah.
You know, in the end of the day, he's the president. And the question is he going to have a chief of staff? Now, he's named him. Will he have him as chief of staff? And that's an unanswered question.
Well, these are the dominoes you don't want to fall. If you look over the people that have been surrounding this president, the people he's chosen, the only three that we can have reasonable confidence in my opinion, are McMaster, Mattis, and Kelly. If Kelly goes, are McMaster and Mattis going to follow? Mm-hmm. And then we got problems like we haven't even thought
look,
about
there's,
yet.
You know, look, the people he's hired reflect and undermined. Whatever happened, you know, look, I worked for two presidents and for President Clinton as senior advisor and then for President Obama as chief of staff. You can have disagreements, but you cannot be undermining one in front of the in front of the staff or have a sense that they're not. I think the way the president attacked both his chief of staff and communications director. If you want to do that, just give him a graceful exit. Let him go on.
Right.
But to do what you did publicly, you know, the collateral damages, there was distraction on health care. There wasn't an attraction to what happened in Wisconsin, which was kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
The thousands of jobs that are going there. The GDP number that was up. He is his own worst enemy. Now, I actually think it's not an accident because people always say, oh, we need a businessman. They don't understand politics. And we see it in our governor's office. This is a businessman. He fired all his staff. He got overridden four times. It's and no sense of how to work with the other people, no sense of how to hear what other people are saying. And it's either my way or the highway, and then undermines people in that process. And I just think there's why, in both cases, nothing's getting done.
But the chief of staff can't be afraid, and I use this word loosely, you were never afraid or cautious when you went to Presidents Clinton or Obama to give your opinion.
No. I mean, I think, look, the good news is they would seek your opinion, even, and I will say this, there are moments, and it's not different. I had a view about healthcare, about doing something slightly different because it would take less time. You could do other pieces of the agenda, the political consequences, you know. President Obama knew my view at certain moments that were the kind of toughest part about passing the legislation. He asked how, you know, give me your opinion again. He was not scared to have it. That says a tremendous amount about him and his character. And the same thing with President Clinton on different things. So if they welcome contrarian views, if you're not scared of your own view and willingness to be challenged, you can have an unbelievably productive. Now, President Obama and I, every morning I'd be the first to see him, and at night we'd have this thing called the wrap. I have actually a picture. It was wrap up, and we would sometimes walk around the loop on the South Lawn, and sometimes we'd just sit in the office. We would go through everything, and it was just him and me. So whatever we wanted to say or whatever he wanted me to say, and he is not scared of being challenged. And you got to have a president that's willing to constantly be challenged about their assumptions, their judgment, and the political consequences, and be willing to say, okay, we got this wrong. Let's move. Let's flip.
So is that why Baker Reagan worked so well, because Reagan was willing to listen and willing to hear?
You know, there are two Bakers. Everybody goes to Jim Baker. You know, Howard Baker was quite successful as chief of staff as well.
Yeah, there you go.
The last 2 years. So I think they know the difference between there's a president and there's a chief of staff, and the president cannot be the chief of staff. I'm not going to be critical because I think he was a great president, President Carter, but at points of his presidency, he tried to be his own chief of staff, and that's a mistake. You're the president. Lead the day in and day out, and the drive, and the and what you need. In the same way, when it came to relationships with Congress, I'm not going to say I did it myself, but with Joe Biden, a senator of 35 years, Pete Rouse, Jim Messina, Phil up in Legislative Affairs, Ron Klain, you had about 160 years of legislative capacity in the White House, which is why it was one of the most productive first 2 years, where everybody was on the field, and President Obama didn't try to do what the rest of the operation did do for him, and he knew that.
It's a remarkable time and a frightening time, but Kelly is on the clock now, and the question is, how long does he stay? Because ultimately, that won't be his decision.
I don't know if that's the ultimate question. The real question, I don't mean to do this, but the question is, will he stabilize this White House, and will he allow the White House and the president to stop getting in the way of what they're trying to do? Now, I'm not for what they're trying to do. I kind of like what the president's doing because he's constantly getting in the way of what he's trying to do, and I don't like what he's doing.
Right, but so I don't want Democrats to like him failing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you're saying that. But
I am
hearing,
saying that. I do like that. I think.
But from a political standpoint, I get it.
I want America to move forward is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the president is, I mean, the idea you have a president, Steve, think about this, who's rooting for people to get hurt not have health care so he could get a political win.
Which is why he's got to go.
Yes.
And calling it a bailout, which it's not.
It's just, forget it. That is so lacking in core values. You want to get something done, I got it. But the idea that you're going to root for people to get hurt so you could do that?
Ridiculous.
In the same way that I will tell you this. This veto of an education bill that you agreed 90% so you can, you're governing through anger.
Well, that's hold on. We're fixing the country first. We'll fix the state in a second. Stand by for that.
Yeah.
Traffic first.
I'm taking my swag back.
And then more. Well, let's see how the next segment goes. So far, you only get the hat.
Yeah. No, yeah, I noticed you didn't take the hat off. You like that
I
hat.
I like this hat. This yes. looks good. Yeah, it is. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, more in just a second on 720 WGN. Don't forget MLSsoccer.com and follow the Chicago Fire and support the Fire. It's a great story. MLS Soccer All-Star Game tonight. If you have tickets, I'd probably leave now. Traffic's going to be interesting. And get there and have a great night. You'll be there, obviously. Who's coming from the family?
I think Alana is going to come with me. And okay. She'll probably bring a friend. But also, if you could always divvy if you don't want to leave right now.
There you go.
You can divvy later.
You need an extra ticket? I can make a call.
Yeah. I was going to say the other way, but, you know, I'm okay. I think I got this one covered, but thanks.
I appreciate it.
I know you just wanted my tickets for Lala.
I just love this hat, man. This hat is working for me.
Yeah. Good on you.
All right. So here's the question. The governor gets the mandatory veto on this bill. But the bill should have been on his S4 now, but he's got it now. What is he going to do with it, and what's your take on it?
Look, he vetoed an education bill that he agrees with 90%. I really do. I think he's governing through anger, which is a mistake. He got overridden four times, and he fired everybody from his staff. It sounds very similar to one other person in Washington. And here is the case. 250 educators across the state. Papers across the state. The governor's own commission recommended this because Illinois has the worst school funding formula in the United States as it comes to helping poor kids get out of poverty. And he vetoes the bill. Children in the city of Chicago are going to be in school day one all the way through the end of the school year and a full school day. I do not understand why a governor who, quote unquote, is sitting on the doorstep of rewriting something that people have been, everybody, Democrats, Republicans alike, educators alike, this is the one place they all agree on. And it's just because of anger, because he is upset that he got overridden four times, and now he wants to take it out on the kids across the state of Illinois who are, through no fault of their own, poor. And that's what he's doing, and it's a mistake, and he should actually sign the bill rather than have vetoed it. And now we're obviously, to get school on time for everybody, we're going to have work across party lines and around the governor because he's the obstacle to reform.
Let me make you the political strategist. Okay, now you're on his team. What's the end game here? In other words, somebody's got to be talking to him saying, you want to be reelected as governor. What's the end game?
I think the only person talking to him is himself.
So you don't think he's listening to anybody?
Take a look at what happened in the office. Here's a classic example. He's never been in politics. Yesterday, when explaining what it took to deal with the bill, he didn't know the facts as it related to how many votes were needed for the override. He had no idea. And it's like 101. And so I don't think if he is listening to anybody, you should start firing them. Second is, I don't think he's listening to anybody because he's really governing through a level of anger. Because when you say, as the governor has said, I agree with 90% of this bill, not him saying, but his chief education officer, he agrees with it because it's a product of his commission. People for 20 to 30 years have said Illinois' funding of education is discriminatory. It penalizes poor kids, kids of color, because of their condition. We have to do something about it. We're on the doorstep of something history, and rather take a victory lap, having been the governor that ushered in a bipartisan reform, he is now trying to play regional politics, racial politics, and economic politics. And I think it's a mistake. And the children, and I mean this, deserve better.
Well, what do you say to people downstate who have an image, whether it's real or imagined, that's been built up over time, that Chicago gets an inordinate amount of funding, and it's not fair?
Okay. Actually, the main beneficiaries are the children downstate, which is why the Rockford paper, the Quad Cities paper, the Peoria paper, the Springfield paper have all endorsed the legislation. It's why the educators, superintendents of those school districts have asked for this to be signed, because the governor and even the Better Government Association said the governor is wrong, and is actually playing politics. The facts are not on the governor's side. The educators are not on the governor's side. The governor's commission is not on the governor's side. The governor is isolated because he's actually just angry. And that's not a way to lead the state.
The Springfield Journal Register, I think, had the story day before yesterday that said CPS is probably getting 12 to 13% of that money. So it's not this astronomical amount.
PGA, no, yes, I get the politics right. of trying to use Chicago as a punching bag. You want to do it on some other issue, go ahead. But this is a historic opportunity. And I actually think, you know, this is a classic where I would walk into President Clinton and President Obama and say, you have an opportunity to get in front of a parade with your baton and be the governor, or in that case is when I'm vice president, that actually authored and ushered in a fundamental reform that people have been educators, papers, have all everybody across the political spectrum have said, let's do. And rather than that, again, we're going to have to organize and work around the governor because he is an obstacle to the change that Illinois needs.
The change that Illinois needs, and listen, I don't want to be one of these guys because I hate when this happens, and I just lectured Dan Lipinski on it. Don't back it up. Keep it simple. The fact of the matter is the change that he's asked for over and over again, he hasn't gotten any of it.
That's not true. He has all the opportunities I personally offered. He wanted to sell the Thompson Center. I said, I'll do it.
No, I understand. Exactly. I understand it. But in the big picture, and I don't want to make this about Madigan because I can do that too easily. Madigan has stood in the way as well. So, okay, 90%. I'm not disagreeing with you. 90% is 90%. There's nothing more tedious than hearing politicians go, it's about the kids.
Okay.
It's about the kids. The kids.
Right. I got it. But first of all, it's extra money, which is important for the kids.
Right.
It's a rewrite of a formula that's been labeled the worst in the United States of America.
Right.
Okay. And this is about change. Now, let me say this. He's advocated a lot of change. Some of them workers' comp, which I supported. But when you compare workers' comp on a scale of 1 to 10, it's not even 12.
Yeah, but why can't Madigan or Madigan's people, because I know Mike doesn't talk for himself, why can't Madigan's people into the governor's office and say, look, workman's comp will get done in a month. Just get on the page here because everybody else is on the page.
I understand. I'm as frustrated as you.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's the point, though. This is a product of the governor's own commission. This legislation was worked through.
I'm not arguing about the legislation. You're 100% right.
Say it again?
You're not 90% right.
Say it again?
You're 100% right.
All right, I got a phone number. I want you to call Amy first on anything like that. Just repeat it so I can put it on tape. Second, I want to say one other thing. I know that this is right, and you know the fact is other reforms the governor brought, this is a product of his commission. He asked to work on this to come to a consensus. As he said, this is a blueprint. And then when you veto it, nobody's going to work with you. Because if you sit down on legislation, you say, okay, here's what we're going to try to do. Here's the try to changes we're going to try to make. And everybody puts a year's worth of effort to work through to help the governor come to these changes. And you will then say when it's done, I agree with 90% of it, but I'm going to veto it. You know what that does to everybody else? I'm not going to work with you anymore. Forget it. This is not on the level. When you ask the commission, everybody rolls up their sleeves, puts a lot of sweat equity, a lot of intellectual work into something. You say, you know what? I like 90% of this, but I'm going to veto it. Everybody walks away and says, you know what? You're not for real. There's no way you can say yes. There's nothing to do with you.
There's nothing that can get done until we find a few grown-ups in a room. Somebody's got to go, I'm going to give another 1% or another 2% to get this done. I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Steve, I'm sorry. I would say you're 90% right on that.
Said you're 100% right. Okay, how come I only get 90?
Because we're grading on a curve.
Oh.
I would say this to you. On this one, that analysis does not work.
So the schools don't open then?
No, Chicago schools will open. Chicago kids will be there. I can't say that for downstate, and that's unfortunate. I'm responsible for the kids of the city of Chicago. Reason we went out and did what we had to do is because we knew a governor who actually will use politics both on region, class, and race to divide the state rather than bring it together. You have no idea. If everybody who sat here in this area and said, we're going to work on this, this is how we're going to take WGN, and you look at it and say, you know what, I agree with this, but we're not going to do it.
Nobody can run a business the way Springfield's been run and the way Washington is being run. It would have been shut down a long time ago.
Running state.
Let me ask you the same question I asked Susana Mendoza the other day.
Okay.
Is there anything the Democrats could do better? Anything?
Yes.
Okay. That's all we want to hear.
Yes,
the public doesn't hear that enough.
Yeah, of course we can do. I mean, look, I don't want to say this, but the children of the city of Chicago, their graduation rate, tripled in the United States of America every year for the last 5 years. They led the United States in eighth grade math gains and led the United States in fourth grade reading gains. They are actually now, even though 85% of the kids are kids of poverty, they match the United States at 41% of kids going to college and another 21% or 20% going to community college. That's an incredible accomplishment, and that's being in a city of Chicago. I'm a Democrat. I'm responsible for it. We also have a community college system that is now noted by the World Bank as the best college career program. Because why? We know that through the classrooms and through the schools is a ticket to greatness. And we've put a lot of sweat equity, worked through a lot of issues, acrimonious at times, to give our kids a full school day, full school year, universal kindergarten, and make sure that they're ready for tomorrow. And that's among Democrats because it's a result-oriented approach.
All right. I want the state Democratic Party to improve. Can you get on that for me?
You don't pay me enough.
How about now?
Okay.
All right. I appreciate it.
I want my swag back.
Swag,
I'll see you.
Yeah. I'll give you the hat back. All right, I know we're way late. Thank you for the extra time, as always.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. And
thank
have
you
fun tonight.
I'll see. Well, thanks, are you going to be there?
I was going to be there, but it's late for me. Can we get the game to start at noon?
Yeah, we can.
Can we move that on?
Yeah, but it's not going to do as much for the economics of the city.
You're right. It is more important. All right, thank you, sir. Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Nice to see him, as always. You need an effective real estate agent who can expose your home to the most buyers by creating a unique marketing and offer strategy. And ultimately negotiate the most money possible for your home. Here's my recommendation. Amy Kite with Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Not only are Amy's fees flexible, you also get an immediate offer. Here's how it works. Amy helps you negotiate through multiple offers resulting from her marketing plan, which nobody can touch. Nobody. Give you a perfect example. Anita knows all about Amy Kite. Anita came back with a third property. Amy knocked it out of the park again, 11 showings, 7 offers within a week, and under contract in 6 days for $10,000. The only agent I'm talking about is Amy Kite. I think you ought to talk about Amy Kite, too. Pick up the phone and call her, 847-877-9881, or online at amywillsellyourhome.com. Educate me. What are we doing? I know we're super late here. All right, quick break. We're back with a very short newscast, and then we'll continue with the program. And Dean and all that on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards joins me now from Channel 9. Hi.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
We tried to solve the federal, local, and plug the MLS All-Star Game all in one mayor visit.
I like when the mayor is on with you. You guys have fun.
Yeah.
He likes you.
We got
gave
swag,
me a hat.
Too. Yeah.
Gave me a hat. Brought in a bunch of, these are called kits. These soccer shirts are called kits. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, it's a European, Euro thing.
The shirt is called a kit.
The shirt is called the kit.
I just call it a jersey.
Yeah. I would actually check my listener text messages to see if I'm wrong, but I haven't been able to sign on to our computers all morning.
Oh, that's not possible.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Our computers always work there.
Yeah, it's a good time.
What does the hat say?
The hat is simply an MLS 2017 All-Star Game hat with the logo for both the Chicago Fire and the MLS.
Very snazzy.
Now the hat from Springfield says SOS.
Yeah, that's a different hat. Yeah. That's an absolutely different hat.
And then at the end of the show, are you going to pull your kit off like they do at the end of soccer games?
Yes. Yeah, well, basically, I'm just going to drop to my knees, pull my kit off, and then have someone help me up.
He's going to bring his vuvuzela.
Yeah. Here's the list. Kanye West is involved in a lawsuit. It's a shock. He's easy to get along with. Kathy Griffin found a new stylist. J.K. Rowling's apologizing to the president? And that's just some of the things to cover, including Sofia Vergara's underwear. Well, we wouldn't cover underwear, we'd cover her.
Well, her underwear covers her.
So.
Part of her.
But who is this traffic veteran you speak of?
You've heard him a million times, I'll bet. Joe Collins, a long, long, long time voice of traffic on news radio. He was on a variety of stations, but probably best known for that.
So he was on BBM for years?
Long time radio personality.
Yeah.
I apologize. I don't know the man.
Yeah. If you did, your heart would be a little bit broken at the news that he passed away. He's had a rare form of muscular dystrophy since 2006, passed away yesterday. I first knew him when we were working at a radio station in Aurora. That's how long ago. Just the nicest guy in the world, heart of gold. He dabbled in theater with the Beverly Theater Guild, mostly did Traffic forever, is a very signature voice of Traffic in Chicago, and passed away yesterday. And I just wanted to acknowledge my old friend.
Well, that's nice of you, yeah. And appropriate, obviously.
I'll do the same for you when you die.
That's nice, Dean.
When you get to, when you start choking on that kit shirt, trying to get it off.
Our very fit boss here, Todd Manley, was in, and John DeCoste and Todd and I were discussing, you know, our survival rates.
Yeah, this very dark conversation.
Yes,
Dean.
And I made the point that Todd and one of us would survive if we were being chased by a wildebeest. It would just be a matter of whether John or I fell first.
I don't know. I think you're both wiry that way. I think you both would take the skinny guy, the guy who seems to be in shape, break his leg and throw him to the wildebeest to distract the wildebeest.
That's not a bad call.
While you two run
away.
I didn't
think about that angle.
Besides, you have sprinting in your DNA, remember?
From my 23andMe study?
You're a sprinter.
Yeah, but that's actually a phone.
Ah, yeah.
That's my cell service.
Right.
Who knew that came up? All right, it's 8:20. We got to do a traffic update here, and then we're going to come back and do the list, including the fact that you can buy Sofia Vergara's underpants. Turns out she wears tidy whities. First, here's Mary.
I'd like to offer my condolences as well to Joe Collins' family.
There you go.
Yeah, he was wonderful. I just saw him in February at the auto show dinner. They always have a dinner for the traffic reporters. He always comes, and that's the only time I ever usually have seen him. And super sweet man. Always asked how you were doing. Just wanted to, you know, put my two cents in.
Absolutely. It's totally appropriate.
Good guy. Loss to the
good,
family.
Good guy.
Great guy.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
8:25, back to Dean at Channel 9. Dean, we're playing the Buy Mooch game this morning. Whenever you hear my granddaughter, Abigail Grace, say Buy Mooch, mm-hmm. You'd be the seventh caller and you win something off our prize list.
The adorable Abigail Grace?
Yes, 18 and a half months old. Do you know how many months old you are?
No, I'd have to get my calculator out.
I am 677.
And Dean, well, he doesn't want, you don't want to
get 676 and a half,
yeah,
technically.
I'm going to figure it out here.
Yeah.
Dean, we'll say Dean is 50 years old, 55.
Nice of you.
Dean is 660 months.
Kanye West is getting sued or is suing someone else?
No, he is suing. He is suing Lloyd's of London, the famous insurance firm. Mm-hmm. They were the people insuring his St. Pablo tour, concert tour that he abruptly canceled last November.
Oh, yeah, they said he faked it or something. Like he wasn't really unable to continue.
Well, he called off the tour and went and checked into a psychiatric center, said that he was having a mental breakdown. That part doesn't seem that hard to believe.
No, that seems as honest as he ever gets.
He was under a lot of stress. Steve, that was right after his wife Kim went through her harrowing Paris robbery. That
I don't know if you know this, but Kim's jewels were stolen by French bicycle thieves.
Mm. That's right.
And they were thieves on bicycles. They weren't stealing bicycles.
Thieves de la bicycle. Is how
someone
we
get
French.
A tennis bracelet.
So Lloyd's of London is refusing to pay.
It's probably the least French I've ever sounded right there.
They are withholding claims on the tour. And Kanye's lawsuit is claiming breach of contract, good faith, and fair dealing. 10 million simoleons on the line here.
Simoleons is the monetary system of France.
That's correct.
Yes, that's exactly right. Kathy Griffin losing it a little bit. What's going on here?
Kathy Griffin shaved her head yesterday.
Can't be a good look.
I don't know. It's
why?
Because her sister is battling cancer.
Oh, well, that's right, fine. That's okay. I thought it was some reaction to publicity or something.
No. Her sister's battling cancer.
Oh, well, good for her.
Going through chemo. She shaved her head in solidarity. She lost a brother to cancer 3 years ago.
Yeah. So she's had some real awful times with it.
Yeah, so that's been tough.
Well, good for her.
Here's the rest of this story. I did this story on TV a little while ago and got an email from somebody saying, how dare I do this story about Kathy Griffin. Plenty of people are supportive of their relatives going through cancer.
What?
Kathy Griffin doesn't deserve the attention.
What?
I have never heard anyone complain because one person is supporting another person.
It's about supporting her sister.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me, you know, I've been in the business a long time. I sort of thought I've heard it all.
Wow.
Thank you for giving me a new experience that somebody thought it was not worthy to mention. One person is supporting another person who is going through cancer.
I'm
going to
assume you type that on a laptop and that you're listening now. Close the laptop, hit yourself in the head, go outside and get some fresh air.
Right, with the laptop.
Yeah.
Close the laptop and hit yourself on the head with
it. Yeah, on my side, it didn't show that I went through.
All right, J.K. Rowling has been very hard on our president, yeah. Donald Trump, who you know I'm a big supporter of, and she is now apologizing?
She was criticizing the president for ignoring a little three-year-old boy who was in a wheelchair, turns out had spina bifida. There was an event at the White House, and the president's, you know, shaking hands with everybody who's in the line. And the little boy, by the film clip that was shown, had his hand up, and the president walked right by him a couple of times, didn't acknowledge him, didn't shake his hand, anything is what it looked like to J.K. Rowling. The boy's mother on Facebook wrote that the president did bend down and talk to the boy and touch his arm. So Rowling issued an apology yesterday to the three-year-old and his family, but not specifically to the president.
She drew the line. Nothing, like, none of us are immune to it. Because you see it on TV doesn't mean you were there. That's it. That's the whole statement. You see it on TV, it doesn't mean you were there, so be careful before you jump to conclusions.
Yeah, you see like, you know, 7 seconds of an event that may have taken an hour.
Right.
So I completely agree with that. Yeah. And I hope someone will send me an email complaining about that to balance my Kathy Griffin experience today.
How dare you bring up your Kathy Griffin experience?
How dare you support someone who's supporting someone who has cancer? Crazy.
Wow. Sofia Vergara is selling her underpants?
Yes, sort of. She is. She
seems like her bra would be a bigger fundraiser.
well, yeah. She's
imagine the money you could get in each cup.
Steve, she started an online underpants business. It's underwear. It's not just underpants. It's all underwear.
So you get the bras and the panties.
Steve, you can buy your Sofia Vergara underpants on a monthly basis.
Right.
Bi-monthly or quarterly basis.
So I could be a subscriber.
That is correct. It is.
They come in big and tall?
I imagine that they have a variety of different sizes. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the nice thing. Sofia Vergara is going to donate 10% of the sales of her underpants business.
To
the 7 Bar Foundation that helps impoverished women around the world.
How dare you promote the fact that Sofia Vergara is selling her underpants to support impoverished women around the world?
I just cannot get a break today.
God, you're selfish.
We just wanted an excuse to talk about Sofia Vergara's underpants several times. We really don't care about the story in any way. We just wanted to say Sofia Vergara's underpants.
You know, back in the 90s, when the internet first got traction, I had an underpants business that never got off the ground. I had to close it down. I blame it on the speed of the 2.8 modem, not that anyone didn't want to buy my underpants.
The dial-up.
All right, what is Despacito?
Despacito is it's the most streamed song in the history of said internet of which you speak. Would you like to hear a little of
this? Yeah, give me a little Despacito.
This song? This is
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído.
You're going to take a song and say it's the song of the summer of 2017. This would be the song. It's topping every chart. As I said, it's the most streamed song in the history of the internet. Yet, Steve, yesterday, the country of Malaysia has banned Despacito.
Why? Why, Dean? Why? Why has Malaysia banned the Despacito?
I think the bigger question is, why are people in Malaysia sounding like they're French people who stole Kim Kardashian's jewels?
Actually, that was more Spanish.
That was?
Yeah, that was Spanish.
Really?
Listen, I'm the man of four voices. All you know right. That.
Okay. The communications minister there.
And one of them is mine.
The communications minister in Malaysia said the song is filled with numerous sexual references and innuendos, wholly inappropriate for the general public.
Mm.
especially children and bald comedians.
Well, I'm going to take it off my list then. No mas despacito. Por favor. I tell you what,
I'm impressed that they know what the lyrics of the song are.
How dare you bring up the despacito? John's banging out another email to you right now. That's you, Dean Richards. You get back to that television gig you had.
I'm very offended at you making fun of me on the air.
Wow. Seriously, close the laptop, hit yourself in the head with it, go outside, get some fresh air.
Not a bad idea.
No, not you, the person that wrote the email.
No, oh, I'm going to do it too. Just on the off chance I was wrong and the crazy person writing me was correct. Just want to cover my bases.
8:34. It's good times, kids. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Texter 630, once again, Steve and Dean make WGN the leader in underpants stories. No other media outlet can say that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that acknowledgement. It is 8:45, and we continue with what is, frankly, a great story. And that's the story of the Take Back Chicago. Joining me in studio now is Hassani Henderson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Let's get a little background here, Hassani. Where are you from?
From south side of Chicago, effectively known as the Low End, around Bronzeville area.
And you well know that the violence that plagues some of the tougher neighborhoods in the city has become a national story and a national concern. And mostly it's just people yapping. Mm-hmm. It's just people going, oh, ain't that a shame? We should do something about it. Well, you're trying to do something about it.
I'm trying to do something about it.
So what is the Take Back?
The Take Back is an anti-violence slash gun deterrent initiative.
Okay.
I started it back in 2014 when I graduated college. We basically have a back-to-school festival that culminates the end of the year that's promoting peace and safety and just being encouraging for the youth around. It's this Saturday, August 5th at
Where?
12 to 5 in Ellis Park over on 37th and Cottage Grove.
And I hope everybody can come, including a bunch of folks from the burbs who drive them to work now. And, you know, most people are well-intended, as you know.
Yeah.
But people are going, God, it's a shame. I wish I could do something.
Right.
Well, here it is.
There it is.
Here it is. Support the Take Back.
Support the Take Back.
All right, so let's talk about motivation for a second.
Yep.
If you are a poor kid in a bad neighborhood and you come up on, what, 12, 13 years old, and your option is gangbanging or what's available in the neighborhood, why are kids choosing gangbanging? Because it's a better option at that point? Because they don't think they have other choices? Or am I wrong about the premise?
No, I think that there are options out there that we just don't know about. Growing up, I was that, you know, underprivileged child from the South Side who grew up in a rough neighborhood. And I think that what was very important for me is to see people who were giving back to latch onto them and learn from them. I think that in the neighborhoods that I lived in, we don't see those people. We don't have those resources. We don't have the same books as other people. We don't have the same schooling. The teachers are, you know what I mean, not as qualified as other districts and things of that nature. So I think that it's really important that we give the resources that are necessary for them to achieve.
Amen.
Hassani, you talk about the resources. Let's touch on that a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. School supplies, backpacks, things that many students, many kids in different neighborhoods take for granted.
Right.
Just paper, pens, notebooks, things of that sort. Take Back provides these school supplies to kids.
Yes. So one of the great things about the Take Back is we do provide school supplies for every child that comes out. Over the course of the 3 years that it's been occurring, we've been able to give about over 1,000 youth school supplies, as well as some tertiary school supplies for kids who didn't actually come. So it's been great. We always give them at least like a bag, a couple notepads, books, things of that nature.
So a kid can actually go to school with new stuff, be proud of it.
Yep.
Because that's part of it, right?
Yep.
All right, so who led you the right way that led you? By the way, where'd you go to college?
I went to the University of Missouri, Columbia, Mizzou.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Dave knows it well. He gave them a lot of his own money.
I gave them a lot of tuition money
yes,
for my
did.
Two kids.
And who led you that way where you thought that was possible after coming from your situation?
So I didn't grow up with a father figure in the home, so I kind of seeked that out in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to join a slew of different organizations that had role models for me.
Okay.
One is Kahari Humphreys. I'm sure he's listening right now.
Good.
Another one is Dr. Derek Robinson. The entire Kappa Leadership Institute Chicago. I was a mentee in that program, and that really geared me toward the right direction.
But the first two guys you mentioned were the men that stepped up in your life and showed you what a man does.
Those were my father figures growing up for the most part, yeah.
Well, God bless both of them.
God bless them.
And probably didn't listen. Just do it for you, right? They probably did it for other people too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they have a very, very strong print in our community and different communities at large. So.
You're so positive. What do you want to say to the students listening or maybe hearing about this for the first time, that there is hope, that there is opportunity out there?
I just want to say that you are immensely talented and you have so much potential inside yourself. And I hope that, you know what I mean, you understand that and realize that, because then you'll change the world.
What was your major in school?
I majored in journalism with an emphasis in advertising, PR, and social media.
Aside from plugging the take back, what do you wish that the media covered more about the truth of the neighborhoods that we're coming from?
I really just want the media to cover the beauty of the South Side. There are so many hidden gems and so much beautiful artwork and things of that nature that I feel like the media doesn't cover, because they would rather, you know, have this portrayal of the South Side as gang-ridden, violence-ridden, and that's not all of the South Side. The South Side has so much.
It's a small fraction.
It's a very small fraction. And it's pockets, you know, it's just...
Right. And instead of a kill count on Monday morning, it'd be nice if we could talk about a great story of something that happened in the weekend, like how great the Take Back event was Saturday.
Exactly. How great it will be Saturday and for
you. Is this your life work now? Is this what you're going to do with your life, you think?
I'm going to do this among some other great things. Be on the lookout.
Listen, I have no doubt, dude. Pretty soon you're going to be taking this show. I can tell you got that look in your eye. Hashtag the Take Back, just like it sounds, started in 2014. They've already serviced over 1,000 youth. Got 150 young adult volunteers. Do you need young folks mostly for this? Because I would think old folks would help you too.
So
they move slower, but they got a lot of knowledge.
So I think one of our greatest assets are the young folks, the young adults that come out, because the kids see them and they can relate to them.
Right.
They see, you know, after a certain age, you kind of see that person as a grandfather or a father figure or a mother, things of that nature, as opposed to someone that you can be in the park with having a great time.
Sure.
You kind of, you know, get that disconnect. So we choose usually around young adults, millennials, to try to come and volunteer. We've never had a shortage of volunteers, which I'm so grateful for. And they come out and they're like role models and paragons for the kids, because they can talk to them about high school. They can talk to them about college. They can talk to them about things that you probably won't talk to your parents about.
Here's the thing. You know what old people have? Money. Let's get their money. Let's get their money and make sure we got more backpacks and we got more school supplies.
I agree.
Can you donate online?
You can donate at www.thetakebackchi.org.
You're a good man for doing this. And
I appreciate it. You guys are great for having me.
Well, you're welcome back here anytime.
Oh, don't tell me that.
All right, maybe not every time. No, you're welcome back here anytime. I want to help you whenever I can. TheTakeBackShy.org. Donate online if you can't make it Saturday. And one more plug for the event Saturday, where and when?
August 5th, this Saturday from 12 to 5 p.m. We'll be in Ellis Park at 37th and Cottage Grove, 3700 South Cottage Grove. Bring your kids, bring the friends, bring the cousins. Just come out. It's going to be a great time. We have some amazing things planned. So
bring your money. Make a donation.
Please make a donation. We're trying to be here for a very long time. So.
These backpacks and school supplies and scholarships, it's a big deal.
I agree.
You're a good man.
Thank you.
That is our new best friend, whether he likes it or not, Hassani Henderson from The Take Back, The Take Back Chicago. Hashtag The Take Back. And TheTakeBackShy.org is where you can donate right now. Good to see you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
you guys have a great day.
I hope that hair stays in forever. I'm not jealous at all. How impressive was Hassani? Right?
Very, very.
I want to make sure folks understand this again. It's an anti-violence, anti-gun, a gun prevention initiative geared towards the youth on the South Side. And hoping to provide a day of peaceful fun and an encouraging environment this weekend at Ellis Park. Taking back the streets of Chicago from gun violence. This is this Saturday at noon till 5 o'clock. Register kids, donate to the cause, sign up to volunteer, learn how to become a sponsor. All of those things. The Take Back provides more school supplies and more book bags for attendees, awarding larger scholarships to more kids with more funding, and that's what we hope to get them, increasing awareness here and there. Eight kids got scholarship at their last event, and they buy these book bags and these school supplies for kids. It's such a big deal. You take it for granted, too, because families all over now, right? They're going to go, hey, Mom, I need school supplies. Would you have the list from the school? And you think, okay, I got to go to wherever, Target, Staples, sure, Walmart, whatever. And you're picking up the school supplies. There's kids all over that don't ever get a chance to do that.
A friend of mine teaches at the Henderson Elementary School in that neighborhood, a little bit south of Bronzeville. And they would always, at the start of the year, bring all the school supplies with their own money, go and get, because so many of these kids, you know, the parents can't afford school supplies or whatnot. But you're right, we take it for granted that you have a backpack or a little lunchbox or something.
So if you're like so many of us and you go, man, I wish I could do something about violence in Chicago, here's a step you can make right now. Make any donation you can. It doesn't matter how big. To thetakebackchi.org. thetakebackchi.org. All right, let me do one political thing here before the top of the hour. Can you give me cut one, Mike? Tell me when you're ready. Yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the new Sean Spicer. And I'll grant you, it's not as much fun as it used to be when Spicy Man was doing it. But she's trying. Man, she's trying. And every time she gets backed into a corner, she kind of hits back. But all of these people in the Trump circle, sometimes sooner than later, are going to have to find other work and live the rest of their lives. And every time I see Sarah Huckabee Sanders say something that I believe is a lie, I think, what are you doing? What are you doing with your name? What are you doing with your career? What are you going to explain to your kids down the road? Mm-hmm. We know that Donald Trump crafted a statement for Donald Trump Jr. to say that we also now know is patently false. We know that Donald Trump Jr. in his own hand, in his own emails, said, I went to a meeting because I thought there'd be damaging information about Hillary Clinton at the meeting. Here's Sarah Huckabee Sanders explaining that the president and Donald Trump Jr. have nothing to feel badly about.
The statement that Don Jr. issued is true. There's no inaccuracy in the statement. The president weighed in as any father would based on the limited information that he had. This is all discussion, frankly, of no consequence. There was no follow-up. It was disclosed to the proper parties, which is how the New York Times found out about it to begin with. The Democrats want to continue to use this as a PR stunt and are doing everything they can to keep this story alive and in the papers every single day. The president, the American people, they voted America first, not Russia first, and that's the focus of our administration.
I would encourage you again, don't believe me, do your own homework, and go and take a look. The New York Times story, multiple sources, the president of the United States, not as a candidate, as the president of the United States, wrote a statement for his son to issue publicly, which he knew was false. Is that obstruction of justice? Bob Mueller somewhere has got to be going, hey, let me do a little work here. Hey, I mean, if you're making a case for me, come on, I'm getting paid for this. Let me do something. Hey, hide some of this, will you?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We could have this flood again in another month. We did have a flood of this elevation only 4 years ago.
Well, obviously, we're going to have to rip out our entire carpet in the basement. We're going to have to probably cut out some drywall.
When it comes down that fast, pipes get filled with water, and there's no place for the water to pump. So this is what happened.
We're going to have to get rid of all our baseboards. We're going to have to repaint. It's going to be extensive, I have a feeling.
I want to estimate around 30,000 bags we hand-bagged.
Trying to get them sand is really hard. That house is really bad, too, because the street's about 4 or 5 feet deep. You can't just drive sand to them. We got to take them 5-10 bags at a time by boat, so it's been a lot of work.
At 9-11, you know, you think about what the people along the Fox and the Des Plaines River have gone through, and we've kind of committed to an ongoing goal here to continue to check in with those communities and to get updates and to see what they need. We have some discussions going on even about doing the 1,000th Steve Cochran Show from one of the harder hit areas. So we're working on a bunch of different things. But anyway, one of our youngest most energetic and delightful staff members. Domati Pongo is on the phone now and covering in particular the Fox River flooding. Where are you, Domati?
I'm good. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good, but where are you?
Introduction, I guess.
Where are you right now?
I'm in McHenry County.
Okay, and which part?
Way out in McHenry County, and I wish I could tell you I knew exactly which part, but I'm on the way to the township offices on Richmond Road in Johnsburg, Illinois.
Oh, got it. Okay, okay. All right, so if you had an opportunity to talk to anybody along the way, or, well, just give us an update. What do we know?
Well, sure. So this week, as you said, we've committed to making sure that we're staying on top of this story because, you know, what often happens, Steve, when these things first happen, we're on it, we're reporting on the ground, and then a few days go by or a few weeks go by, and we might not hear more about what's happening in those communities. So what WGN is doing is make sure that we're on the ground and supporting these communities. And hopefully, you know, with that 1,000th episode, we can even put some resources behind that as well. So yesterday, I visited one area that could really benefit from those resources. You were talking this morning about education. Well, this Murphy Elementary School in Round Lake got the worst of the worst in terms of flooding. They sustained $2 million worth of damage. And I visited them yesterday, spoke with their superintendent, the director of operations, their principal. And they tell me that the school is 100% free or reduced lunch. So not only do these communities and families have extensive damage to their homes, but now the place that they go to school to get that lunch and all of that sustained all of this damage as well. So they got hit pretty hard.
Do they have any plans on what they're going to do as far as school goes? Because obviously they're not going to be able to use that building right away.
Yeah, so this was the silver lining. So the good news was that the school's insurance policy was so strong that all of the $2 million was completely covered by the insurance.
Well, that's smart.
So they're and they're undergoing renovation right now. So let's talk about what they lost, though. The library, all of the books within it, their music room, their cafeteria, their gym. We're talking about 30 Chromebooks, 60 computers, all supplies on the lower level, lockers, all of that stuff gone. But it's going to be rebuilt. And fortunately, the upper levels of the schools were not seriously affected. So school will start on time for them, August 21st. And they plan to have most of the construction completed by early October. So despite all of that going on at lower level, school will start on time, and those kids will be able to get things going for the start of the school year. But they're still worried about the home life for a lot of the students.
Domati, a lot of these aid centers were set up as well initially. People could go there for food, for clothing, basically for advice on insurance claims, or even if they didn't have insurance, just to kind of get some help. Are those aid centers still open, and are they going to stay open for a while?
They are. So just a few days ago in McHenry County at the Recreation Center here in Johnsburg, they had a kind of a fair where they were passing out information, resources, letting people know how they can assess damage. And a lot of folks are renting homes. So, you know, most people don't get renter's insurance, right? So how does someone who, you know, who doesn't have an insurance policy kind of assess the damage and rebuild? And then what do they do for taxes? So, you know, giving them tax assistance. How do you file for taxes if you're around and kind of file those losses and just working through that with people. So I'm on the way to the township who put this together with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency to find out what specifically some of those resources are so that in these reports I file in the next few hours, we can get that to our listeners as well. They're still going through these problems.
I know you're doing a good job out there. I know you continue to do a good job out there. Tell everybody we're thinking about them and tell everybody we're going to keep talking about them and not be shy to ask for help.
I will. And Steve, just to piggyback on your call earlier, as we're talking about how to support communities that go through these types of things, just wanted to give a call out on the website. It's for those who want to support the community around Lake. The website is RLASFoundation.com. Again, that's RLASFoundation.com. And because the school is covered and receiving most of that money from the insurance policy, and they're good to go, they're saying that if you want to donate to some of these surrounding areas and some of these families that have suffered this damage, that is your resource to go to. So you can go to that website, you can find out how you can volunteer your time, and you can write some checks and get some people back on their feet.
I want to make sure we have this right now. RLAS is in Steve?
Yes.
RLASFoundation.org.
.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, .com. RLASFoundation.com.
Yes.
Domati Pongo, live covering the Fox River flooding, and more to come on that. Again, we're going to try to continually check back in as the rebuild continues. But that's what insurance should do. Insurance is going to cover the Murphy School flooding. And it's a huge relief because they'll be able to open the school, the actual building, within short order. But, you know, a lot of people don't have flood insurance for their homes, that's for sure.
No, and everything, I mean, everything from, like, you know, the floor to the repainting, yeah. to everything has to be redone in the school. So.
Yeah, and including replacing all that equipment they yeah. lost. So it's 9:17. We're going to shift gears here significantly in just a second. I've asked famous game show host John DeCosta to join us. John, what were some of the games that you, I know you started in the 50s.
Yeah.
What were some of the games you hosted on television? I know Where's My Keys? Yeah, was one of your biggest yeah. things. It basically, people just leaving their house, they didn't know where their keys were. And then you followed that up with, where are my glasses?
Where are my glasses? And throw the alarm clock to the wall.
Oh, that was a big one.
That was only on for, that was, we were filling for summer.
Oh, do you remember when John hosted, Are You Gonna Eat That?
That was good.
Yeah, that was another one.
That was good.
Yeah, well, that was 60s.
Yeah, and then the year later I did, Are You Gonna Finish That?
Right.
It was after the after school specials.
I gotta say, one of my favorites of yours, do you remember the game Concentration?
Yeah.
John didn't host Concentration. He hosted Lack of Concentration. And the idea was three people with the attention deficit disorder would come on and try not to match everything. And, you know, it turns out that was a good concept gone bad because everybody won. Everybody they all had ADD.
Won. Everybody won. Yeah, we ran out of money after the third episode.
Yeah.
It's called the Steve Cochran Show now, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Everybody has ADD. But certainly most people know your record. Which one are you most proud of?
Duck, Duck, Doe.
Duck, Duck, Doe. Was it played like Duck, Duck, Goose?
No, it was. They just whipped bakery dough at you.
Oh, I thought you meant a baby Bambi.
No, the whole point is you didn't duck. If you got hit, you won. We lost money the fourth week.
That's the one you're most proud of?
We all rose to the occasion, didn't we, on that one?
What?
Sorry.
It's 9:19. We'll come back and play the match game in a second. With famous game show host John DeCoss. Sometimes these are just for us. The match game, we need two callers to play. Sandberg, I need you to be the announcer for this. The match game with two potential winners or huge losers at 312-981-7200 is the number. We're back after this on 720 WGN. I just want to clear this up with John again. People would throw dough and you would duck?
Yeah.
Or you would not duck?
You would not duck.
Okay, if you were willing to take the dough hit.
You were willing to get slapped in the face, you win.
Famous game show host John DeCoss is here for America's fastest growing ripoff game show. It's the Steve Cochran Match Game. You're going to ask people to match celebrity questions and answers. Well, not the questions, the answers to the questions.
Right. They have to fill in the blank.
And this has not been done anywhere?
Never. This is a first time ever.
First time concept. Got it. Let's go to your announcer, Sandberg. What are we playing for?
We are playing for an app gift card and a Pequod's pizza gift card.
All right. Linda was first. Let's go to Linda in Chicago. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm great.
What are you doing today? What are you up to?
Well, actually, I'm at work.
What's the job?
Data entry, office administration.
Just for fun, put in a few fake names. I'm kidding.
Okay, we can do that.
Kidding. All right. Is it just me or is this music super familiar? You guys?
No, I wrote this. Bell? Christopher and I wrote this.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go to John now. How do we play?
Linda, it's real simple. I'm going to give you a phrase. You fill in the blank. And whoever matches the most celebrities is the winner. Linda, could you give us the name of your company so I can call HR?
Absolutely not.
Okay. You ready, Linda?
I'm ready when you are.
Here we go. As she was preparing for a remote for WGN Television News, Andrea was so tired.
How tired? What, seriously? No one's ever seen this?
Right.
Set it up again.
How tired was she?
All right, there you go.
Instead of speaking into a microphone, she used a blank.
Wow.
Tube of lipstick.
A tube of lipstick.
Oh, we need,
it's a really
need
good
time.
Answer.
Yeah, we needed some.
We need time to write.
That's
our
okay.
Answer.
I'm gonna read it out again. I'll read it out loud. Oops. As she was preparing for a remote for WGN Television News, Andrea was so tired. Instead of speaking into a microphone, she used a blank. And Linda said a tube of lipstick.
Did you write your answer down?
I did.
Okay, we have all
That's
our
good.
Answers in.
Yes. Okay, let's go. Let's start with Dave Ennett.
I said hairbrush.
Hairbrush?
Oh, that was my second choice.
That's a good.
Which,
good.
Any of those could be true. I have multiple of all of those.
He always has hairbrush.
Okay, Andrea.
You know, we got Vanderbilt on the 7-4. What was your answer, Vanderbilt?
I said banana.
What? That might happen if I'm
pretty
tired.
Well, it looks like a microphone, kind of.
Linda, can you get married to do data entry at your company?
Vanderbilt, we're going to need to get a full checkup on you.
Why?
Banana. All right, Mayor.
What's wrong with the banana?
Actually, that's a good answer. That is a good answer.
No, it's
not.
It could happen.
I could see it.
Andrea, your answer?
Well, I didn't have time to write it down, so I said tuba lipstick.
A tuba lipstick.
Yeah.
We have a match.
Now we have a winner.
All right, and that could be possible because I do carry several tubes of those.
And Steve?
The question again was what?
Question is, as she was preparing for a remote for WGN Television News, Andrea was so tired, instead of speaking into a microphone, she used a blank.
Paul Conrad's beard.
Paul Conrad's beard.
Yeah. Ooh, that could close.
But she's close. On the board with one.
She got one. That was good.
You thought my answer was good.
Very good, Linda. Hang on the line.
Linda, you're going to get a $25 gift card to Pequod's Pizza in Chicago and Morton Grove. Just dug
the best
pizza in Illinois by the Daily Mail.
And if she's the winner, we continue on to the off-air bonus round.
Hold on.
There you go. Way to go, Linda.
Actually, I think she'll need a reference for her new job.
Larry is in Vernon Hills, or is it Larry Vernon who lives on a hill?
No, it's Larry from Vernon Hills. Hello, guys.
Hey, Larry, how are you? What will Larry be playing for?
An apt gift card.
An app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936 again, except for a guy named Leo.
That's actually not bad. Larry can just run right down 294.
So all right, you know how we play, John.
Larry, you know how it goes. I'm going to give you a phrase. You fill in the blank, and let's see how many of these celebrities you can match. Are you ready?
Right. Again, the idea is not for us to write a really creative answer. The idea is to try to match.
Yes.
Individuals, so they
I didn't
win.
Think my answer was very creative.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is coming from Paul Conrad's beard, by the way.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah,
thanks for helping out.
It's a making big, fun of banana.
It's a big beard.
Yeah. Yeah, right now.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go. Mary Sandberg Boyle works out every day. When she took her husband, Pat Boyle, to her hot yoga class, Pat said, "Hot yoga? I thought you said hot blank."
How hot was the yoga?
No, see, that's not the timing.
That's not how it goes?
Good. No, it's not good.
I'll repeat it again. Oh, go ahead.
Hot women.
Hot women. Oh, that's pretty good. Okay.
All right. Okay. And generally, you will find a lot of husbands will say that to their wives, right? Hot yoga. I thought you said hot women would be here.
Let me read it again. Mary Sandberg Boyle works out every day. When she took her husband, Pat Boyle, to her hot yoga class, Pat said, "Hot yoga? I thought you said hot blank." Andrea.
I said hot pockets.
Hot pockets.
Oh, I like that one, though.
That is good.
Yeah.
That is good. Answer. Dave?
I said hot women.
Yay! Hey! We have it perfect. All right. Mary.
Why don't you
Mary?
Take a cold shower there, huh?
I said hot mama.
At the hot yoga club.
Hot mama.
Judges.
Oh. You know what? I'm gonna let that go.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
And I said,
I agree.
Hot yoga instructor. Hot yoga? Hot yoga instructor.
I'm actually going to
He doesn't specify male or female, though.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. Larry won because
he still
two.
Went two nice out of job. It. Yeah, that's
two a, to Linda's yeah. one. Which
so, Larry,
means...
you're going to get an app gift card pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com and a ChevyDriveChicago.com. And WGN Radio Stainless Steel Travel Mug.
And, of course, as we play the game on the show, whenever it's a competition between two, Linda has to send Larry something of value from her house.
That's a great idea.
All right. Hold the line there, Larry. You're a creep.
Thank you.
Be a better man. Be a big winner. Hold on. It's 9:30. John, great job.
No, come on. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
This game.
We'll come back with a big story. We're still hoping to squeeze it in before 10. Mooch's cousin has called like 10 times trying to get on the show this
Scooch?
Morning. Scooch.
Ooh,
Mooch's
talk.
Cousin Scooch. I'm hoping to get it in before 10. Stand by. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:42. You know that knucklehead that got gored by the bull again in Pamplona, Bill Hillman? Remember he was on the show last year and he was in the hospital. He got gored by a bull. He went back to, I guess it was 2 years ago now, And then he went back. This year he got gored again.
Did he go back?
When he was under the influence of pain-reducing narcotics, he took a shot at America and said Americans who criticize his dangerous bull-running hobby. You know, we don't criticize the hobby so much as that you suck at it, Bill. You keep getting gored. The goal is not to be gored. He says, fat, dumb people who vote for Donald Trump and have no interest except McDonald's and malls, that's what America's become. He now would like to apologize.
Oh.
He's a veteran of more than 300 bull runs. He said, I've been thinking a lot about things I said. Well, this is why his wife left him. Remember he was in the hospital with a big old bull gore hole in his hip and his wife wouldn't talk to him?
It wasn't in his hip. Wasn't in his. It was like his upper thigh, wasn't it?
In his sensitive.
In that.
In the Little Hillman area?
Region.
Yeah. We just wish him well. He's a nice guy. But I just think he's got to be better at it.
No.
I think in bull running statistical breakdowns, you can't be 297-3 or whatever he is.
No.
You got to be 300-0. The deal would be don't get gored.
The bull wins way too
often. When I did the running with the bulls, I took an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Right. And if the bull gores an Uber, right. I mean, big deal. So
you did that before it was even hip to do that.
I did, actually. I did, yeah. It's 9:43.
Hey, you guys,
yeah.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
We have a little bit of breaking news.
What do you have?
The president, President Trump, has just signed the Russia sanctions bill at the White House this morning into law.
You sure he signed his own name?
No. I did get to see that part of it, but we know he signed the bill. There was some suggestion that maybe he was just going to let this become law, but he has actually put a signature on it this morning.
Steve, who was in the room when it happened?
I didn't see who else
was
in
the meeting.
Yeah,
is it Invisible Ink?
I'm sure the number will grow by the end of the day.
There is a provision, a signature with explanation clause that exists, where basically you sign the bill, but you say, I object to this, 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 and this. Do we know if he did it that way?
We don't know that yet, no.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
A little asterisk by the signature.
If he had waited until a week from Friday, I believe, it would have become law anyway.
Yeah.
So, listen, there's one question I think we all have at this point. How does Vladimir feel about this? Is he called Vladimir? Could be a lot of trouble if he hasn't. Joining us in studio, the lovely Marta Henderson and Maya Kesselman, who are very bendy.
Yes,
did you know
are.
That about them?
Yeah,
they're
I've seen them.
Bendy.
They're awesome.
They are super duper bendy. And they are part of what show? Because you've seen it.
I saw Lucia. I said it right. Right, Francis? Lucia, the new Cirque du Soleil at the United Center, which is phenomenal. I mean,
And congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
How'd you get your gigs? Do you audition or what? Are you just like outside, bendy outside and they go, come on in, do the show?
No, both of us started when we were young in San Francisco. I was 10 and Marta was like 3.
So have you guys known each other forever?
Yeah.
But the Cirque du Soleil shows now have blown up that there's, you know, the Vegas installation and then touring shows. Is this the first show you've done together? You've done a bunch together.
We grew up with a youth circus in San Francisco, so we did a lot of shows together when we were young. But this is the first professional Cirque du Soleil show that we've done together.
So you look, and you're not going to be offended by this, you look the same age.
We're pretty close.
We're close. I'm 2 years older than her.
Yeah. Oh. Well, so then how are you 10 and she was 3? Come on. What's going on here?
We started at different times.
I see. Well, that would work.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so what is a youth circus? Just young people in the circus?
Yeah, it was like a after-school program kind of thing. There was a circus school that opened up in San Francisco, and two guys from China were actually kind of the ones that started it from the Nanjing Acrobat Troupe.
Okay.
And it just happened to be that a group of us kind of started doing it, and we all fell in love with it, so we'd all meet after school, and they would, like, choreograph acts for us.
Oh, so they worked on skills and different things.
Yeah, they taught us disciplines, and then...
Because I think what most of us think is when we see Cirque du Soleil, we think gymnasts, right? We think these are gymnasts.
Right.
But in some cases, these, like you guys, sound like you were just kids with no fear.
Well, we did circus forever, so we weren't gymnasts.
Yeah.
We were.
But you had to start with being a kid with no fear. You just loved the rock and roll.
Yeah, we were.
We're out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the first stunt you tried that you look back on it now and go, some adult should have stopped me? There had to be something, right?
You mean in the circus
show? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, not or at your house. I mean, if you want to just hang it out.
I wasn't a reckless child, but for sure, I started with trapeze. I started with a trio of trapeze, and I was the porter, so I would, like, hang by my knees. And then I had these two little girls, one in each hand, and they would pull me up, and I'd be spinning at like, a really high height and holding these two little girls in my hand.
Seriously?
Like, one in each arm, and I was like... Now looking back on it, I was like, I was like 13 years old. Like, what were they thinking?
Did I sign a waiver? Wait a minute.
Yeah, and how old were the girls that you were holding onto?
Another one was 13, and the other one was like 8 or 9 or something.
There's got to be adults somewhere going, hey, if she drops one, we got the other one.
Okay, so when we went out there, we did a great video for WGNRadio.com with Marta and Maya and Francis, who's the publicist as well for Lucia. And
Francis, our old friend. Yeah.
Well, they were great.
She started at a junior publicity firm when she was 10.
Exactly.
That's how she learned.
So there's two. Yeah. They call them like what is like dueling treadmills, right? But it's not the treadmill in the traditional sense. But it's like a treadmill without the bars. And I thought I can't even walk on the treadmill. They're leaping into the air, diving through hoops on these two tiny little treadmills, and with every breath you're going, oh. Oh, wait, don't fall. Wait, don't fall.
But she brings up a good point. Some of these stunts are like there's two knuckleheads in a room, exercising in legalized weed going, dude, I got a new one. Where do these ideas come from?
I mean, there's a huge team before we even arrive that come up with ideas. They traveled to Mexico. I think they worked like 2 years before the artists came. And... they got all their ideas together.
Stunt's not right. What's it called? The discipline?
The act.
The act or the discipline? The act.
Hoop diving is the discipline, and it's the hoop diving act.
So. All right, so the act itself, they know they want to do it in the show, but then they have to find the athlete, the artist that can do it.
Right. Yeah.
But hoop diving on a treadmill, this is the first time it's been done.
Steve, this is insane. This is literally, I can't put my right arm through the treadmill. And
you know, you can get on without, do they know this? You can get on the treadmill without diving through a hoop. You just start right from the back, you just step up.
I asked them, okay, again, I could put my left arm through the hoop. They're putting their whole bodies through these at high rates of speed, perfect coordination, perfect accuracy. So I said, how do you practice this? I mean, do you go... You have this in the gym, or how do you practice?
Yeah, how many reps do you do before you actually try it in a show?
Well, they brought us to the Cirque du Soleil headquarters, I think about 7 months before the premiere. And like we started with just stepping on the treadmill, stepping off, falling.
Oh, so you build it in stages.
Oh, yeah, it was super awkward at first. We fell so many times.
It looked like we couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
But that makes sense, though, right? You build it in stages, and then you have the confidence that you can do it.
Totally. Exactly. You start to feel like, how your body moves with it.
How much of it is rhythm? Because that feel thing, that strikes me as something everybody talks about in sports. Whatever sport you're involved in, that feel, that rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be a huge part of what you guys do.
I think in hoop diving, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Because you could be for example, gymnasts. They're really good acrobats. But when you have to put it through hoops, it's a completely different thing. It's like you have to know your surrounding.
Right. But there's no net. You're not hooked onto something if you fall. Not that you ever would, because you guys are so good.
We have.
Right.
But
good
we also have, we're about seven birds on the treadmill. Yeah. So when else do you get to say that?
Seven birds on a treadmill.
Right. Normally that's a problem at the gym where the windows are open. Right.
So, seven birds on the treadmill. We trust each other a lot. I mean, if I fell and was ejected off stage by the treadmill, somebody would probably come and get me, you know, like, or try to stop me before I would fly off.
Yeah, grab the bird head.
Now, is there a way, Andre, you can describe this show?
It's
because it's so visual and it's so.
I just, you know what?
Cool. I mean, if you know Cirque du Soleil, you just trust that it's Cirque du Soleil.
This was the best Cirque du Soleil that I've seen. It was, you know, it's in your own backyard. It's at the United Center in this tent. I thought it was so beautiful and so colorful. I mean, the music, the colors. It's supposed to be a dream interpretation of going through the colors of Mexico. And it's just so visual and gorgeous. And you guys are literally like you're floating on air, through the air. And again, every time you jump up and I'm going, oh, God, please. Oh, God. You know, do you hear the gasps from the crowd where they're like, oh, whew.
Yeah, definitely in some acts.
Yeah, in some acts more than others. Yeah. We definitely hear the applause. Okay. I don't really hear the gasps of...
And you like the applause, right?
Yeah, applause is great.
That fuels it's great. You.
You guys were definitely our best audience.
Yeah.
During training.
During training.
Oh, yeah, during training.
You guys must love it when little girls come up and are just fascinated, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
Because it probably reminds you of you guys when you were little.
Absolutely.
And do you see these little kids and you go, Mom, Dad, you're going to have to let her go and do this because she's got it in her eyes, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I have a little niece, Sarah, and she's like, I want to grow up and be in Lucia. I want to be the yellow bird just like you. And I was like, oh, my God, it breaks my heart. Your mom will never let you do it. But, okay.
But your families, do they still come and freak out, whoever your loved ones are in your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, both. I mean, I would think,
Dave, think about parents watching kids and they go, I can't watch my kid pitch. He might walk another kid. Mm-hmm. They're diving through hoops on a treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine there's some anxiety there.
Yeah. I think my mom definitely, like for my brother Devin, he does some crazy tricks. I feel like she's never actually watched him.
Oh, so you have family members who do this as well.
Yeah.
So it's your brother as well.
Yeah. I have two older brothers and an older sister that did it. Not with Cirque du Soleil, but, well, my two brothers do. But that's why I started.
And Maya, you did a lot of choreography for this one? For Lucia?
What do you mean?
Or Maya, Maya. I lost you guys.
Maya,
right. I thought I saw something in the notes where you helped design some of the acts for this, or am I wrong about that?
I mean, we were all there during creation, so we helped in our own way.
Okay. But you're not taking credit for the entire show being your show.
I cannot take credit for the choreography of the show. No.
In case somebody falls. But didn't you? You guys were telling me you have to learn how to fall, so you fall properly. Because if you know you're going down, you want to do it so you don't break something.
Yeah, I mean, you try the best you can to like react fast. Or
have you guys had bad injuries?
Yes, but not here.
Well, I wouldn't think during the interview you'd be hurt. That would be awkward.
I broke my eye socket with my knee once.
I don't recommend that.
I wouldn't recommend it either, but it wasn't that bad. So.
And? Worst knee? Injury?
I don't think I've ever... Well, I broke my hand once, but it was with basketball, so... Oh, yeah. Really?
That was a Cirque du Soleil.
Well, obviously, you should never play basketball. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Dave and I, it was probably the wrong time to announce this, but we're doing Cirque du Old Guy. And what you do is you get out of a chair, and you get up to find new batteries for the remote, and you walk across the room, and then you forget what you were looking for. And then you stop to argue about politics with somebody else who walks in the room. And then you walk back to the chair, you put the batteries in, and you fall asleep in the chair.
You know, the risk factor is underrated, Steve.
Yeah. It's a different type of skill. It's a different type of art.
Is
frankly,
it
it's an acquired taste.
Next to the United Center, or?
Yes, I think. You've heard of Off-Broadway? This is off United Center. Yes, it's way
the,
off.
It's the mini
way,
tent.
Way.
You know, Steve, there's a whole room full of treadmills down below us here in the Tribune Tower.
Yes.
In the gym. I'm wondering, maybe we could get a lesson, you and I.
My God. How much
definitely
on how to jump.
You guys are available now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm sorry. I've got to run.
It's a shame. Much time.
It's a shame that now is when you're available.
Yeah. They'll teach us how to fall so we don't fall like going down the stairs of the building.
It's Marta and Maya, and it's great to meet you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Stay healthy. That's all. I mean, it sounds like a fun life. It really does. I hope it's as fun as it sounds.
It's very fun.
Yeah. And, of course, tickets for Cirque du Soleil, Lucia.
Go see Lucia. It's phenomenal. We put the video on the website as well, so check that out.
On WGNRadio.com?
WGNRadio.com.
And when you go to the Lucia website, and however you end up linking it, look these two up. They've had fascinating careers already, except for the horribly dangerous basketball game. One of them was oh, so dangerous. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank
9:56, Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. It's good timing. Mooch's cousin, Scooch.
Scooch?
Is on the phone.
Oh.
You know Anthony Scaramucci?
Sure, of course.
Scaramucci, will you do the Fandango? This is Mooch's cousin, Scooch. Let me get this, and you guys can chime in here.
Hey, Scooch.
Hey, Shytown, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. We're doing great.
This is awesome. You don't sound like Steve.
That's Bill, and this is Wendy.
Hey, Scooch, how are
you? Nice to meet you.
Paisan.
Hey, Wendy, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry, we're right at the end of the show. We really don't have a lot of time, but is your cousin Mooch okay?
He's doing great. You know, he put in his 10 days, worked his butt off. He qualified for retirement. We're happy for him.
Okay, good, good, good. Does he have any possibilities, any place he can go now?
Oh, yeah, he's going to come work for us, a bunch of us guys. We're buddies from the neighborhood. Mariano, don't call me Dominic Sassalapeca. He stopped by. We had Gino Hunka Hunka, Bernie Fat Bacanato was standing over there. Salvador, I like my eggs like I like my women, 3 minutes, more Nostra. You know what I'm talking about? But we're all going to go work at the bakery.
Which
you
bakery?
You mind if I plug the bakery?
Yeah, go ahead, plug the bakery. What's the bakery?
It's called Do Your Boot.
You got good cannoli over there?
Oh, we got cannoli. We got biscotti, bruponi. Oh, my God. Cucchetta, zeppanoli.
Cucchetta.
They've got cucchetta, Steve.
Thank God.
It's so tough to get.
Cucchetta ever.
It's so tough to
fresh.
Get.
Fresh.
You don't have to ask me. You just asked Gino 30% off with a coupon for Nova.
It's been, been forever since we could get good cucchetta. That's unbelievable. Hey, who's the manager over there at that bakery?
Johnny Bobani Mamani Duck and Nordo.
Listen, Scooch, say hi to the Mooch. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, love Chi-Town.
All right, see you later.
I've never seen this stereotype light up before. What does that mean?
It's Bill and Wendy. They're on the air right now. We'll see you tomorrow.